93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today's Friday. It's October 12th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, you heard all of those roads in Jersey being affected. Tropical storm Michael pounded the Jersey shore with heavy rain and flooding Thursday night. In Wildwood, the conditions were treacherous enough that the George Redding Bridge was closed for a few hours to traffic, but was reopened early Friday morning. Hudson Avenue had major street flooding early Friday morning. The floodwaters were beginning to recede. Officials at the Jersey shore were concerned about flash flooding due to the heavy nonstop rain that they received.
Guys get hit with anything? It was just standard rain.
Heavy rain, some wind is what I got.
I was anticipating a lot more.
Well, I didn't know it was as bad as it was until I left for work this morning, and there were like branches and stuff I saw some debris in the road.
But yesterday, I mean, the sun came out at some point,
it did.
I was like, I thought we were going to be raining all day here.
Right, yeah.
On Thursday evening, the rain was coming down 3 inches an hour on the Atlantic City Expressway. Wow. Officials were expecting a lot more of that in the overnight hours. In Ocean City, barricades were placed on streets that are prone to flooding. In Sea Isle, the high water trucks and rescue boats were on standby throughout the night. Now, Florida Governor Rick Scott said the panhandle woke up to unimaginable destruction. The devastation inflicted by Hurricane Michael came into focus Thursday with rows upon rows of homes found smashed to pieces and rescue crews struggling to make their way into the stricken area. Areas in hopes of accounting for hundreds of people who may have stayed behind. At least 3 deaths were blamed on Michael, the most powerful hurricane to hit the continental United States in over 50 years. Though reduced to a tropical storm, it brought flash flooding to North Carolina and Virginia, soaking areas still recovering from Hurricane Florence. Authorities in Cumberland County have arrested and charged 4 people in connection with the murder of a youth football coach back in August. Around 8:15 August 9th, members of the Millville Midget League football team were dispersing from the field behind Lakeside Middle School when 37-year-old Joseph Jones was shot and killed. Thursday, authorities announced that they had arrested and charged 42-year-old Eugene Cosby and 22-year-old Will M. L. Bay with homicide and conspiracy to commit homicide in Jones's death. Additionally, 34-year-old Janaea Hughes Lee and 22-year-old Tyrell Hart were arrested and charged with conspiracy to hindering apprehension, and related charges. Officials say the arrests come as a result of a 2-month-long joint investigation. This homicide was particularly unsettling because it was committed in broad daylight at a football practice field in front of numerous children, the Cumberland County prosecutors said. It is my hope that these arrests assure the victim's family, the children, and the parents of the Millville Midget Football League and the greater community that law enforcement will do all in its power to bring those we allege are responsible to justice. Car buying customers can now visit a giant vending machine in Philadelphia's Fishtown section to select their new car.
I saw it. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Crazy.
Online car retailer Carvana has built a 9-story garage at 1043 North Front Street. The company says customers can visit Carvana.com. They can purchase their car online, then choose a car vending machine pickup or home delivery.
So when we were going to the reunion, the alumni, the WMMR event
at the Fillmore.
So I'm parking in the lot. It's nighttime. It's beautiful. It's lit up and the cars are there. And I said to my wife, I think that's one of those car vending machines.
Yeah.
Because customers shop online, they save money and time and don't have to worry about the haggling of going down to a dealership, said the director of communications at Carvana.
Stupid.
Yeah.
That's me personally. I need to go drive a car, the exact car that I'm going to buy.
Okay. What I mean? Yeah. No, I can drive a version of the car, you know, and I'd certainly like to drive the car. I think, yes, I agree, Preston. It's a more hands-on, tactile experience. I don't know if I could just say, yeah, that one and just let's go. But apparently, you keep the receipt and you can return.
I don't know, though. I hate car shopping. I hate the whole process.
Oh, I love it.
I hate it. It's the reason why.
Marissa hates it too.
It's the reason why I stopped leasing cars, because I thought I'm not going back every 3 years to do this.
Okay. Well, you know, I've been buying the same brand of car for a while, so I know what I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. I know the variations that I'm going to get, so I'm fairly confident. But to just go in and I can't see going in and have never actually having driven the car. Just go, I'll buy that.
I don't blindly go and buy the same brand.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah, yeah.
I see what has come out, what is good. I do the reviews. I go around.
Oh,
I test drive them all. And I don't just buy the next version of whatever car it is. I need to get out and get my hands dirty.
You need to vet, I do a lot of the due diligence because you're going to be in it for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Customers can choose the car vending machine pickup, receive an oversized coin, which activates the vending process. Once the vehicle is vended into the delivery bay, customers can do a walk around of the vehicle and sign off on the last few documents.
They say, Kathy, though, and they do have a special thing in place, that sometimes the car starts to get stuck.
And you
have to shake the building.
Shake the building.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia car vending machine is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. to learn more about Carvana.
Steve,
its car vending machines. You can visit Carvana.com/vending machine.
You can get lucky, and sometimes you get two cars.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Hit it hard enough. Yep.
All right, in sports this morning.
All sacks are yummy.
Last night, the Eagles beat the New York Giants 34-13.
Honestly, didn't see that coming. I don't know why.
Carson Wentz threw a season-high 3 touchdown passes at the Meadowlands, and the Eagles avoided their 3-game losing streak, their first one since 2016. Wentz finished 26 of 36 for 278 yards and no interceptions. He threw 2 touchdown passes to Alshon Jeffrey and a 10-yarder to tight end Zach Ertz to help the Eagles build a 31-6 lead. They beat the Giants for the 4th straight time in 7 in 8 games. Corey Clement scored on a 1-yard run, and Jake Elliott added a 33 and 30-yard field goal. The win put the Eagles into a first-place tie with Washington in the NFC East, with the Cowboys a half game back. The baseball playoffs resume tonight as the National League Championship Series begins in Milwaukee. The Brewers will host the LA Dodgers for Game 1 and 2 before the series shifts back to Los Angeles for Game 3. Clayton Kershaw will get the start for the Dodgers, and Gio Gonzalez will pitch for the Brewers. Game time is at 8:09. The Flyers are back home tomorrow when they host the Vegas Golden Knights. 4 games into the season, the Flyers are 2-2, while the Golden Knights, who are the defending Western Conference champs, are struggling at 1-4 and have lost 3 straight. The puck drops tomorrow afternoon in South Philly at 1 o'clock. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Here we go on a Friday morning. Whole lot of stuff to get to. Word of the Week prize at Kid Rock set up in Atlantic City. We're going to give that away this morning. We have the birthday bucks and $1,000. 8 o'clock, we will give you the word. We'll tell you how to enter it, and maybe you'll win a grand today.
And if everything goes according to Hoyle Preston, by the end of the show, I will have found and murdered the person who keeps screwing the sport up over here.
What's going on?
They reconfigured my hotkeys over here, and it comes in periodically. So today, I will be hunting them down and killing them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Keep in mind when that report comes in and Steve is carried off.
It's very exciting.
We'll let you know.
Yes.
We'll keep you posted.
I'm going to need a defense attorney if you are listening.
We also have a whole lot of in-studio guests today. Starting early, roughly an hour from now, Paul Stanley of KISS is going to be here in our studio.
That's so cool.
Art exhibition is tonight at the King of Prussia Mall. And you know what? His art is pretty damn cool.
I was looking at it. Apparently, his first piece of artwork ever was a self-portrait. I'm like, that looks like Paul Stanley.
You know what? He's really
good.
Talented.
He's good.
He does abstract stuff, and it's pretty cool. So he's going to be at the Atlantic City Hard Rock tomorrow night, by the way, for the art exhibition as well. So Paul's stopping in this morning, which is really cool. We have a long, long history with that band, obviously. We also have two guys who are appearing tonight at Punchline, and it will be Sam Tripoli and Eddie Bravo, and it's called the Foil Hat Community Comedy Night. I'm sorry.
Tinfoil Hat, yeah.
Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night, because they're conspiracy guys.
They love the conspiracies.
Yep, so they'll be stopping in. And we have Jeannie Francis.
Yeah.
Who played Laura on General Hospital of Luke and Laura fame.
So if you're unaware of what that means in the world of pop culture, I can tell you this, that when Luke and Laura got married on General Hospital, 32 million people watched it in the daytime.
Do you know what I remember of that, Steve? And I'll bring it up when she's here, too. There were 3 monumental television events that took place around that time.
Yeah.
One was Who Shot J.R.?
Who Shot J.R. in Dallas.
The final episode of MASH.
Yes.
And Luke and Laura getting married.
Getting married, yeah.
I mean, it was
huge.
Massive.
Yeah.
It just absolutely took the country by storm.
What was the last show that you can remember within decades that got 32 million viewers?
Oh, that wasn't my soap, but like I watched it because of Luke and Laura.
Yeah, and it, like you were saying, Steve, it was like 12:30 in the afternoon.
Yes. You know? Yes. I mean,
that's 32 million people.
I mean, people at work. And, you know, and by the way, Kathy, she's been on every freaking soap opera.
Well, yeah. It bled into the other soaps. And I think even like, like they were on other soaps as those characters.
Oh, were they? Okay. Yes. I didn't know if they were playing the same characters.
So she's in town. She's a keynote speaker at this conference that's going on. It's Philadelphia Media Network that's taking place in the Marriott today. So we'll talk to her about that as well. But obviously, we got to talk about the legendary fame that she has, in the world of soap opera television. So we have those people all stopping in today. So it's going to be a very, very packed show. We also have Gottschall's Turkey Bacon stuff.
Yeah!
And loads of things to give away, of which I want to give something away right now. Our buddy Bert Kreischer's coming back to town. It's the Body Shots Tour, Saturday, March 16th at the Keswick Theater. So it's a ways up, but tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. at AXS.com and noon, at the box office. So let's give some tickets away right now. I'll take caller number 14 at 215-263-WMMR. You go see our buddy Bert at the Keswick Theater coming up in March. We'll take a break, come back in a second, roll out the entertainment stuff as well as a stupid question. More giveaways. Don't go far. We're going to have a good time today, I guarantee you.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hey, up for grabs today for the stupid question is a pair of tickets to see Adam Conber of True TV's Adam Ruins Everything. And he's in town Saturday, December 1st at North 7th. That's formerly the Electric Factory. Question for you this morning. In what American war did we first see the use of a submarine in military action? Interesting, right? 215-263-WMMR. Okay. So in what American war did we see the earliest use of a submarine in military action? 215-263-WMMR. Sorry, wow. Steve, that's incorrect.
Wow.
Let's see if we can get an answer in a moment here. We're going to go through some birthdays today, Friday, October 12th. It is Hugh Jackman's birthday today.
Love Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman is 50 years old, so am I, and we are incredibly in the exact same physical
shape. Unbelievable how you guys mirror each other physically, but you have the same regimen. You both eat 4 almonds a day and then work out for 15 hours.
Yeah. You know what the thing I like about him, though, is he freely admits what a royal, horrible pain in the ass it is to get in that shape.
He hates it.
Yep.
When he was first announced as Wolverine, I think both you and I, it was back. He's too big. He's too tall.
Yeah.
And then he made it his own.
He did.
And, you know, just phenomenal. And how great was he in Logan?
Oh, man. Dude.
Still disappointed that there was no nominations involved in that movie.
They tend to overlook stuff like that.
I know they do, but, like, they shouldn't.
I know.
They absolutely should not have, especially for that movie.
Yeah. But he's been great in a lot of things. You know what was on the other day? When I was down in Florida, it popped up on TV, and I was pointing out to my uncles, we were watching TV, I'm like, you're going to laugh at me, but this is actually a really good movie, and it's Real Steel.
Oh, yes!
The robot boxing movie.
Out of left field, this movie came, and it's a heart tugger.
I wasn't going to give it a second. I thought I knew what it was about, and it actually was a really good movie.
Yeah. I keep hearing great things about The Greatest Showman, and I'm so surprised that I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I need to see it as well.
It's okay. The music is phenomenal.
Okay.
It's not the best movie you'll ever see, but the music in it is really great.
What Nick said.
That's true. The Prestige is a really good movie, too. So he's 50 years old today. Josh Hutcherson. And it's funny because in my list of birthdays here, the only credits that it gives are The Hunger Games.
I'm so hungry.
But he's been in a lot of stuff. As a kid, he was in Zathura.
Which I really love. That's a Jon Favreau-directed film.
He was in Bridge to Terabithia.
Yes.
And he was in the movie RV with Robin Williams. And this is all as a kid actor. And
yeah.
He kept going and is, you know, he's
still... Hey, the guy hosted SNL.
...is making a lot of good movies. So he's only 26 years old today. Jeff Keith, who is the lead singer of the band Tesla, and he celebrates his 60th birthday today. I always thought that guy had a really powerful rock star voice, and this was their biggest hit, which unfortunately was a cover song for
them.
Yeah. But they have some pretty cool tunes, and they never quite got to superstardom, but they had some moderate success in the world of rock music.
I never knew. I mean, when this song came out, I was younger. I didn't know that it was a cover.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. So I didn't really care. I loved it.
It's a great song.
I don't care.
60 today. Kirk Cameron's birthday is today. I'm sorry, Casey.
So he does this. He did this movie called Fireproof about a firefighter working on his marriage.
Yeah.
And I am a sucker for this movie, and yeah? I don't know why.
I loved him.
There's no reason. But it just gets me every time. And there's a. There's a scene where the wife finds out he's been doing all these things behind the scenes that he hasn't gotten credit for, and it's
and it crushed in the box office.
It did.
Like, there's a Christian movie market, and that's what this was. Like,
yeah.
This
yep.
was, there was another movie that I remember the priest at the pulpit at my church was telling, you have to go see this movie.
Kick-Ass.
And I'm like, it wasn't Kick-Ass, but I was like,
you got to see this.
I'm not going to go see that movie. I'm not listening to my priest for movie advice. I'm just not going to.
He was the one I had, like, the torn out pages from 17 magazine.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yep. You had the Kirk Cameron thing going. Kirk Cameron. He was a heartthrob for a while.
Yeah.
Now he likes to walk up to people and tell them how they're going to hell.
Yes.
I mean, like, that's what he does.
Does he?
Hi, are you gay? You're going to hell.
Does he do that?
Something similar to that. Absolutely. I've seen video footage of him walking up to people and asking them about their beliefs and saying, how does it feel about you going to hell? Wow, man.
That's not cool.
No, it's not. He's 48 years old today. And then Adam Rich from 8 is Enough.
There's a trouble guy.
He's also 50 years old today.
Remember they found him, he'd thrown a brick through a pharmacy window and they found him on the floor?
He had some drug problems.
A little bit.
Yeah, big time. So hopefully he's doing okay now. But he was the cute kid du jour when 8 is Enough is on.
You couldn't escape the little prick.
So he's 50 today. Let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. In what American war did we first see the earliest use of a submarine in military action? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Derek. Hey, Derek, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Good. Do you know the answer?
Yeah, it was the Revolutionary War. They used a submarine called the Turtle against the British. It was a single man, hand operated wooden barrel.
There you go.
The dude knows what he's talking about. Yes. That is correct.
You were shaking your head no.
He was impressed with his knowledge of the answer.
I'm just like, wow. Okay, this guy has done his research. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It was a single man. It was technically used in military service, and it was the first use of a submarine. So, Derek, hang on the line. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you a pair of tickets to see Adam Cotiver of True TV's Adam Ruins Everything at North 7th, formerly the Electric Factory. It's on Saturday, December 1st. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. Let's start off with Harvey Weinstein, and we'll begin by saying that the criminal case against him was dealt a bit of a setback yesterday. Prosecutors representing the Manhattan District Attorney's Office dropped one of the six charges against him. Prosecutor Joan Eluzzi Orban told a judge Thursday that the DA was dropping the charge connected to one of his three court accusers, Lucia Evans, and she was one of the first of 80-plus women to come forward with allegations against Weinstein, but only three cases have moved forward to trial. In an article in the New York Times published a year ago, Wednesday, Evans first shared her story. The article said that he forced her to perform try this again.
It's all right. It's Friday.
He had forced her to perform oral sex on him in 2004.
So, she was the one that apparently the police became aware of, and they had put a bug on her to go back and talk to Weinstein, and they got some audio.
Okay.
And so some of that audio was at the key of this trial.
But in a letter to the defense unsealed in court on Thursday, it appears that there is a counter-narrative and that Evans' interaction with Weinstein appears to have been consensual, according to them. The letter reads, according to the witness, the complainant Evans told the witness that the complainant had gone to the defendant's office where the defendant told her in substance that he would arrange for the complainant to receive an acting job if she agreed to perform oral sex upon him. According to the witness, the complainant told her that she thereupon performed oral on the defendant.
Okay, so all right, so this whole process, I mean, you know, he's allegedly been doing this for years.
Yes.
Offering acting roles. Are we ever going to hear from casting agents who were usurped, directors who were, like, just handed these women saying, so-and-so is going to play this part?
Well, in effect, we have sort of. We've heard Peter Jackson come forward and say that he can verify that they shut down actresses like Mira Sorvino.
But what about the other side? What I'm saying,
I don't know. Nothing that I've, you know, I'm not familiar that deep into the case other than the accusations against him, which are many.
Weinstein's legal team, by the way, led by Benjamin Braffman, accused Evans of committing perjury when she testified before a grand jury that Weinstein forced her to perform oral. Sexual assault is a serious crime, Braffman said outside the courtroom, but falsely accusing someone of sexual assault is also a serious crime. Braffman said Evans' counter-narrative about her account was uncovered by a fact checker at The New Yorker. He plans to subpoena the magazine. Braffman also argued the case is permanently and irreparably damaged by the development and noted that he plans to call for a dismissal. A lawyer for Evans, meanwhile, said that she is disappointed that the DA abandoned her. Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to all six charges and remains free on $1 million bail.
I was reading that the case here may be that they're going to dump out on this because they have so many others that have substantial...
That might be worth...
Let's just do this.
Yeah.
We'll get the same result if we just go with this one instead.
Okay. It's possible. We'll see and we'll follow it for you. Kanye West made a trip to the White House yesterday and had a face-to-face meeting with Donald Trump during the rapper's lunch meeting at the Oval Office. Kanye wore a red Make America Great Again hat and spoke to Trump and ranted for about 10 minutes about prison reform, mental health, the 13th Amendment, and his love for the president. According to CNN, Kanye explained wearing the hat and said that, "I think it's the bravery that helps you beat this game called life. They tried to scare me to not wear this hat, my own friends, but this hat, it gives me power in a way." Did you watch his
I did watch a bit of it, yeah.
I don't understand any of it.
It was kind of interesting. I was very impressed when he and Melania performed Poopity Scoop.
Wasn't that nice? I couldn't. The dude is all over the place. When he speaks, it's like it's stream of consciousness.
Yeah, and he said he has mental issues that he deals with and takes medication for. So it was a wild shot, though.
But he was misdiagnosed and he does not suffer from bipolar disorder. So I don't know, man. Dude is all over the place.
He's a runaway train. Yeah. However, it firmly established to me that they need to refinish the desk in the Oval Office.
Yeah, you don't care for that?
Yeah, a couple of nicks.
A couple of nicks in there? Oh, come on, man.
Got to finish it up. Polish that sucker up.
Maybe, perhaps, he should have some thoughts written down on a piece of paper or something along those lines when you're going to go. I mean, there's so many people there. But I wonder what Kanye's actual motives are. I wonder if he perhaps...
I can't keep the poopity scoop going on in the background.
I'm not going political here or anything like that, but I wonder if he's not as big of a Trump supporter as you would maybe think, but he's playing to Trump's ego, and he's, you know what I mean? And
I don't know.
A way to get into that door.
I will freely admit I have no idea. I can't tell what the guy, you can never tell what the guy's going to do, man.
Nope.
But it's working for him because he's making a gazillion dollars.
He is still a juggernaut. Mm-hmm. His last album was a huge seller.
Yeah.
Poopity Scoop.
Riverdale star Camila Mendez is finally in a happier place after struggling for years with bulimia.
She had bulimia?
Yeah, she opens up to Shape magazine for their November cover story and explains why she devotes time to discussing her recovery on social media. The 24-year-old says, I realized that I have this platform and young women and men who look up to me, and there is a tremendous power to do something positive with it. It was definitely a very vulnerable thing to put out there to almost 12 million people on social media, but that's who I am. That's me being authentically myself.
I love her. She's a perfect addition to the cast. She's very sexy, but she's also her character's... It's a variation on her character that they do on Riverdale, and I like the way they present her.
Preston, I know you're a huge Archie's comic book guy.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. Would I be into this show?
You don't need to. You don't need to know anything about the comics. This show is a trip, you know?
Yeah. And in fact, there were variations on the comic books that started a couple years ago where they had them encountering zombies. And they had them doing things. I didn't read the series, but there was apparently a time travel element.
Really?
So, okay. Yeah, the whole Riverdale world became sort of more like a just a stop off. So the classic characters you remember, they just incorporated them into all these fantastical stories. And that's when the series just took off again.
Oh, see, I don't know anything about that stuff. I just know the old storyline.
Yeah, yeah.
And
where's that suitcase full of comics at? Is that back at your house?
Yeah, it's in my house. There might be some Archies in there. I didn't collect all that stuff. Mainly, we got the thick books that they had, the little condensed ones.
Okay.
That just had tons of different
I used to love them as a kid, just the original stories.
Yeah.
I did the cartoon I was a fan of.
Yeah.
You know,
friggin'
Archie.
Yep, and I read some of the spinoffs, the Sabrina comics
as well. Yes, absolutely.
They had tie-ins to that, too, so... but anyhow, Mendez says she started struggling with bulimia in high school, explaining that she used to see food, especially carbs, as the enemy. She said, I was so scared of carbs that I wouldn't let myself eat bread or rice, and I'd go a week without eating them, and then I'd binge on them, and then it would make me want to purge. She said if I ate a sweet, I would be like, oh, my God, I'm not going to eat for 5 hours now. I was always punishing myself. I was even anxious about healthy food. Did I eat too much of that avocado? Did I have too many fats for one day? I was consumed with the details of what I was eating, and I always felt as if I was doing something wrong. But after receiving treatment through a therapist and recruiting a nutritionist, she says that it's gotten better, but she still has tough days. So the voices in my head never completely go away. They're just way quieter now.
It's tough when there's one or two family members who have dealt with various eating disorders, not in the immediate family, but in the extended family. And it's akin to, it's like an alcoholism thing. You always battle it throughout your entire life.
Yeah, it can take over everything. But I like her. She's cool. I like her version of Veronica.
Yeah.
She's really cool. So Camila Mendez. Dakota Johnson just recently started publicly acknowledging her romance with Chris Martin. And her openness was greeted perhaps inevitably with a flurry of pregnancy rumors.
Ooh.
The 29-year-old joined Ellen DeGeneres on her show Thursday to set the record straight. Johnson said, the only thing I'm pregnant with is a lot of really good ideas, but not any babies. Johnson.
Oh, she is a card.
Also,
She's good.
A little background into how the rumors got started. She says, it was my birthday, and there were balloons that happened to be pink and blue, and so there I was, pregnant. And I didn't know that the balloons were going to be released. They just, they were just in an arch, but I guess that accidentally happened. One of the ends just let go. Many assume the balloon release was a gender reveal party. Earlier this month, Johnson told the Tattler that her romance with the 41-year-old singer she said, I'm not going to talk about it, but I am very happy. But now she's kind of talking about it.
We were talking about self-deprecation as an attribute that really makes you like someone.
Yeah.
That's her. She makes fun of herself all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Julia Roberts and Oprah Winfrey have both been the subject of rampant, often unkind, media speculation for decades. So when Roberts sat down with Winfrey for a cover story in Harper's Bazaar, the subject of hurtful tabloid rumors naturally came up. She said, Stedman and I lived in the tabloids for so many years, and it was hard on his family members and some of my family members. And I couldn't imagine if we had children and every other week there was some story about him leaving me getting dumped or me leaving him. And she also went on to ask Julia Roberts how she keeps the negative rumors about her husband, Danny Motor, and the kids.
She just keeps motoring.
She keeps motoring.
Yes!
They have twins who are 13 years old, Hazel and Finn, and a younger brother named Henry, who is 11 years old. But apparently she keeps the rumors at bay by motoring.
Man!
The 50-year-old says, sometimes we are in the grocery store and I won't even know something is out, but we'll see a tabloid and we'll all be standing there like, oh, that's uncomfortable. This is really uncomfortable. It can still hurt my feelings, she said, because I'm so proud of my marriage.
Oh, no.
We just celebrated being married for 16 years this 4th of July, Casey's birthday. And
what did you say? Me in America.
You in America.
America.
And there's so much happiness wrapped up in what we found together.
It is kind of cool that their marriage has gone on this long.
I think it is also because apparently he was not in the industry, was he?
Or well, kind
he was,
of.
Was he like was, a key grip or a craft services or something like that?
He's a camera guy, right? Camera
yeah,
guy,
yeah, all right. There you go. So it's not like a high profile that still works.
Yep.
I like it. I like her. I like her big teeth.
You like her big
teeth? I do. Teeth. I like her big toothy smile.
She's nice big teeth.
Yes.
Pretty teeth.
Like Kathy.
Yeah. Steve Carell says The Office revival won't happen, but not for the reason that you may think. He says that Michael Scott's sense of humor wouldn't fly today. He tells Esquire, because The Office is on Netflix and replaying, a lot more people have seen it recently, and I think because of that, there's been a resurgence in interest in the show, and talk about bringing it back. But apart from the fact that I just don't think that's a good idea, it might be impossible to do the show today and have people accept it the way it was accepted 10 years ago.
It's so sharply funny, and there's so many great moments and elements of it. You know, I think it would fly. And honestly, I think just for a one-off, I think this cast could definitely make it work. Everyone who's been who was a part of it says they would love to do it.
Yeah.
But you look at what Steve Carell's got going on career-wise now. There's a lot of stuff, and you have Krasinski, who's... got the Jack Ryan series, and also he's directing a Quiet Place. So, I mean, they've got other stuff on their schedules.
Yep. Kim Kardashian reunited with Alice Johnson several months after convincing Donald Trump to commute her life sentence. The pair made a joint appearance Thursday at Google's headquarters in Mountain View to discuss prison reform.
Good girl.
Kardashian posted a selfie in Instagram stories, and they were joined by Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown, Ivanka Trump, and the son-in-law Jared Kushner. So
all at Google.
Yeah, all at Google.
Did they eat at the cafeteria there?
I don't know where the picture was taken, but I got to believe it was in the cafeteria.
They have a pretty badass cafeteria there at the main Google headquarters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You ever see that movie where Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson are attempting to become interns at mm-hmm. Google?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I remember the film, but I didn't see it. And they shot it at the...
It looked like
okay.
It was, you know?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, a company like that's got to have pretty badass cafeteria.
Yeah.
As good as Subaru?
It's pretty...
In that range.
We love Subaru.
Subaru and Campbell's both have pretty awesome cafeteria.
But when you look up Subaru online, you need to use Google. So, you know, there you go.
Kathleen Turner's next big role will be as the Duchess of Krakenthorpe.
She's going to play the Kraken?
No, she's the Duchess of Krakenthorpe. It will be in The Daughter of the Regiment. It's a non-singing role. The Academy and Tony Award nominated 64-year-old star will grace 7 performances of the comic opera on February 7th to March 1st.
What do you think her singing voice is like?
Harvey Weinstein.
Right, yeah.
Or not Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Fierstein.
They both would have horrible voices.
Yes, they would.
I can't imagine Harvey Weinstein has the voice of an angel.
The last of which will be televised to...
Midnight, and the kitties are sleeping. All alone they are sleeping.
He's in Cats?
Just like Cats do.
Just like Cats do.
That's not the word.
No, that's Kathleen.
That's Kathleen Turner.
And the kitty cats do. If you want to, you can go pet the kitty cats.
I still love when we had her here, and Casey
was great.
Casey revealed that one of his first excited moments as a child was seeing her wet T-shirt in the Romancing the Stone, and she paused and she just goes, "Well, isn't that nice?"
Well, isn't that nice?
She is fully aware. Again, someone who's self-deprecating.
Yeah,
Dumb and Dumber too.
Yep.
They show up. She's working on a car.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. And she had to.
She
you know,
goes
it's in
with
the script.
It. It's in the script.
She had to have said, "I'm not going to do that."
Yeah, excuse me, sir.
Yep.
She played Chandler's dad on Friends.
Yeah, yeah. She did.
She gets it.
Yeah. If you want to see somebody who can take that joke just as well, you got to watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
Whoever the voice is of Lois. Griffin.
Yes. Yeah.
I forget her name. She was on Mad TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
She's great.
Yeah.
She just won an Emmy for that
Did
performance.
She?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So This Is Us. That's your show, right, Kathy?
Yeah.
All right. Do you know who Chrissy Metz is?
Uh-huh.
She's okay. the larger, the yes. softig woman.
All right. So it says here, body positive star Chrissy Metz.
That we're body positive stars, Preston.
Reveals that she only recently felt comfortable wearing a swimsuit in public. She said, "I grew up wearing a T-shirt at the pool."
Yeah. She's big.
She's very big. Like, she's lost some weight.
I thought at the beginning of the show when I first started watching, I'm like, is that really her? Like, is that her body, or are they making her look bigger? But it's her.
So you were engaged in body shaming as well.
Stop it.
She's 38 years old.
She's freaking huge.
She told Glamour in her November cover story for the magazine, "As an adult, I was like, I am going to find a bathing suit that I like, and I'm going to wear it." She said, "It's a backhanded compliment, but I'm doing what I want to do." So she finally feels a little bit better about herself.
She's really pretty.
You know who does bathing suits for what is called plus size? But Ashley Alexis, our former calendar girl, she has a whole line of bathing suits that are for...
Oh, really?
Yes. And the vast majority of people fall in the range, that range. You know, the limited element is the Victoria's Secret model who weighs 14 pounds.
Yep, agreed. So the creative team behind the Conners knows that it has a problem. The ABC spinoff of the wildly successful and canceled Roseanne has... to hold on to the show's old audience, many of whom are loyal to the ousted star, without alienating people who were offended by the tweet that got her fired. So how will her absence be handled?
I know how they could do it all.
Okay.
Put it on a space station.
Okay.
Have the Conners in space, like the Robinsons and Lost in Space.
I like your idea of just having her in the bathroom.
Have her in the bathroom.
Time. All the time.
All the freaking time.
So the executive producer, Bruce Rasmussen, told Variety, "We want people to watch the show and see what happens and how we wrote her off."
It's a competent cast. You have Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman. You have talented people. So, you know, let's see what happens.
He said, "You don't want to be flip about how you do this. A lot of people cared about the character, and it's separate from whatever feelings they had about the person and her political views and the things she said. We wanted to honor that character. People can have their opinions after that." So it's coming out on Tuesday, 8 o'clock on ABC.
We'll see. We'll see how it does.
We shall see. Oscar-nominated Hailee Steinfeld.
We love her.
I love her.
She's super talented.
A crazy crush on her. Will host this year's MTV EMAs Awards on November 14th. Is that the European Movie Awards?
I think you're probably right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
She will also perform. This year's party kicks off in Bilbao, Spain.
Bilbao, Spain.
That was coming.
I guess that's how you pronounce it.
It is, yeah.
Okay, Bilbao.
It's in southern Spain. And there's
Bilbao.
A famous Gary Museum there.
Gary?
Gary.
Frank S. Gary, yeah.
Gary! You know. Gary!
Last year, she grabbed the Best Push Act, and this... Spain. And this year, she's nominated in the Best Pop category alongside Ariana Grande, Camila Cabello, Dua Lipa, and Shawn Mendes.
So it's not movie awards. It's European Music Awards, or...
You know what? That must be it.
Okay.
MTV European Music Awards.
Here's a picture of her holding the award.
Ooh, she's a lovely girl.
Yeah.
Lovely and talented, a good voice, and quite an actress.
She is a good actress.
She's a good actress.
Does she have a pop music career?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not familiar with her career. I just know her work on Pitch Perfect 2 and 3. Yeah.
She was also in True Grit, right?
She was the girl in True Grit.
Yep.
She's been in a couple movies that have been pretty decent. She was in Ender's Game as well. And
she's a good actress, good singer.
Yeah. The EMAs, she said, are a show where anything can happen.
I can't wait to host a night filled with incredible artist performances, some surprises of my own. Let's do this, Bilbao.
Bilbao.
Yep.
Bill.
All right, let's do clips here. The filming of First Man.
Oh, that opens today.
Tried its best to be as historically accurate as possible for our first trip to the moon. And here Ryan Gosling talks about how trying to be accurate affected him.
Just sitting in these really carefully reconstructed capsules, having astronauts that were involved in those missions, like, talking to me in my ear through the scenes. It was a very, very surreal process, sort of an opportunity that I still can't believe I got to have.
Shut up, dummy.
And if you're listening very closely, you heard Casey fart during that.
Is that right?
No, you didn't.
Did you fart?
No.
You lifted your butt up and I heard something.
I was cracking. You might have heard my back crack.
You lifted your butt up and I heard something.
You might have heard my back
crack. Your back cracks as loudly as one of your farts.
You looked at me and smiled. I thought you farted.
It's a wonder you're not totally paralyzed.
I just like you a lot, Preston.
Maybe it was.
Look at you. I thought.
Your chair made
it. So, Preston.
We had a moment.
This movie needs to be seen in IMAX. You agree?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
And the reviews are tremendous, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. The thing that they say is what it may lack in dramatic, or as far as the character, or really feeling you get to know Neil Armstrong, the accuracy and the depiction of everything involved with the space flight, with his just general test flights as a young man, all that stuff is incredibly accurately depicted, and it will blow you away.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this. First Man is in theaters today.
Damien Chazelle.
Let's do the next clip here. Bad Times at the El Royale is a movie that is heavily influenced by music. And here, actor Kaylee Spaney talks about how Drew Goddard approached the relationship of music to the characters. Here we go.
Drew was very passionate about the songs. He gave me a playlist the second I got cast, and he was big on all the other cast members finding their own music that inspired them, that fit their character. He was very hands-on with the music aspect to it.
Shut the f*** up!
And, of course, the soundtrack was done by Michael Giacchino, who we had on day before yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it looks really cool. It's got a very cool flavor to it.
I love things like this.
Yeah.
You don't know who's up to what and who's good and who's bad and multiple stories running at once.
I'm curious if Jeff Bridges in this, if he talks like this or not. He doesn't?
No. Okay. He plays what you're led to believe is a priest. Apparently in the trailer that's not the case.
Okay.
Did you ever see Hella High Water?
Not that I remember.
Oh, no, he's
that
not.
Kind of guy.
He
is so freaking good in Hella High Water.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
But the way he's been talking, I don't know if that's a character or if that's just the way he talks anymore. Because
he kicks it up a little bit, yeah.
He was doing that in, doesn't he do that in Crazy Heart too, Press?
That's the same kind of character, though.
Not quite as much.
He does it in Kingsman.
Kingsman, he definitely does. And there were a couple other roles that he was doing that. And I'm like, wow, I wonder if he's just, you know, you get to your age, your voice and your mouth works a little bit differently.
Your teeth keep falling out.
Well, that can happen too. But anyhow, Bad Times at the El Royale is in theaters now. It opens today.
Go see it.
There you go. So I got the entertainment report. I have bad news. Paul Stanley's not going to be here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He canceled.
Oh, no.
He flat out canceled.
So during that break, I had to text about 3 or 4 people that he's not going to be on. Yeah.
Oh, that were on their way?
Yeah. Well, Dwayne, you know, my trainer, is a massive Kiss fan. And so he said, yeah, come on in.
Yeah, apparently the rain and the storms overnight really messed with his travel. And he wasn't able to come in early.
Okay.
And so his thing isn't until later on tonight. So, I mean, if you're really, really excited about seeing this art exhibition, that should be okay, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Jeannie Francis is still coming.
Yeah! Now that's rock and roll.
Yeah. All right. So Jeannie Francis, Laura of General Hospital, will be here.
I understand it's wet outside. We won't be able to make it. Perhaps you should send someone from a soap opera. I'm Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons. Maybe he can come by.
Yeah.
Get Gene to come by. We'll tell him that we have food from Godzilla's turkey bacon.
Yeah.
So we also have comedians Sam Tripoli and Eddie Bravo who are going to be popping in. They're performing at Punchline tonight. And it's one show only, 10 p.m. only, from what I understand.
So their show's often been called the Kiss of Comedy. Preston,
it makes up for
which show?
Paul Stanley.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Birthday bucks coming up, too. So let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll have a chance to win $1,000. We get close to 8 o'clock. We will return in a moment.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
Hey, up for grabs today for the stupid question is a pair of tickets to see Adam Conover of True TV's Adam Ruins Everything. And he's in town Saturday, December 1st at North 7th. That's formerly the Electric Factory. Question for you this morning in... what American war did we first see the use of a submarine in military action? Interesting, right? 215-263-WMMR. Okay. So in what American war did we see the earliest use of a submarine in military action? 215-263-WMMR. Sorry, wow. Steve, that's incorrect.
Wow.
Let's see if we can get an answer in a moment here. We're going to go through some birthdays today. Friday, October 12th. It is Hugh Jackman's birthday today.
Love Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman is 50 years old, so am I, and we are incredibly in the exact same physical
shape. Unbelievable how you guys mirror each other physically, but you have the same regimen. You both eat 4 almonds a day and then work out for 15 hours.
Yeah. You know what? The thing I like about him, though, is he freely admits what a royal, horrible pain in the ass it is to get in that shape.
He hates it.
Yep.
Because when he was first announced as Wolverine, I think both you and I, it was back. He's too big. He's too tall.
Yeah.
And then he made it his own.
He did.
And, you know, just phenomenal. And how great was he in Logan?
Oh, man.
Dude,
and it was
disappointed that there was no nominations involved in that movie.
They tend to overlook stuff like that.
I know they do, but like they shouldn't.
I know
they absolutely should not have, especially for that movie.
Yeah, but he's been great in a lot of things. You know what was on the other day when I was down in Florida? It popped up on TV, and I was pointing out to my uncles. We were watching TV. I'm like, you're gonna laugh at me, but this is actually a really good movie, and it's Real Steel.
Oh yes,
the robot. Boxing movie.
Out of left field, this movie came. And it's a heart tugger.
I wasn't going to give it a second. I thought I knew what it was about, and it actually was a really good movie.
Yeah. I keep hearing great things about The Greatest Showman, and I'm so surprised that I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I need to see it as well.
It's okay. The music is phenomenal.
Okay.
It's not the best movie you'll ever see, but the music in it is really great.
What Nick said.
That's true. The Prestige is a really good movie, too. So he's 50 years old today. Josh Hutcherson. And it's funny because in my list of birthdays here, the only credits that it gives are The Hunger Games.
I'm so hungry.
But he's been in a lot of stuff. As a kid, he was in Zathura.
Which I really love. That's a Jon Favreau-directed film.
He was in Bridge to Terabithia.
Yes.
And he was in the movie RV with Robin Williams. And this is all as a kid actor. And
yeah.
He kept going and is, he's
still... Hey, the guy hosted SNL.
...is making a lot of good movies. So he's only 26 years old today. Jeff Keith, who is the lead singer of the band Tesla, and he celebrates his 60th birthday today. I always thought that guy had a really powerful rock star voice, and this was their biggest hit, which unfortunately was a cover song for them.
Yeah.
But they have some pretty cool tunes, and they never quite got to superstardom, but they had some moderate success in the world of rock music.
I never knew. I mean, when this song came out, I was younger. I didn't know
it was
a cover.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't really care. I loved it.
It's a great song.
He's, I don't care.
60 today. Kirk Cameron's birthday is today. I'm sorry, Casey.
So he did this movie called Fireproof about a firefighter working on his marriage.
Yeah.
And I am a sucker for this movie, and I don't know why.
I loved him.
There's no reason, but it just gets me every time, and there's a scene where the wife finds out he's been doing all these things behind the scenes that he hasn't gotten credit for, and it's
and it crushed in the box office.
It did.
Like, there are like there's a Christian movie market, and that's what this was.
Yeah.
This,
yep.
Yeah. There was another movie that I remember the priest at my, at the pulpit at my church was telling, you have to go see this movie.
Every Kick-Ass.
And I'm like, it wasn't Kick-Ass. But I was like,
you got to see this.
I was like, I'm not going to go see that movie. I'm not listening to my priest for movie advice. I'm just not going to.
He was the one I had, like, the torn out pages from 17 magazine.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yep. You had the Kirk Cameron thing going. Kirk Cameron. He was a heartthrob for a while.
Yeah.
Now he likes to walk up to people and tell them how they're going to hell.
Yes.
I mean, like, that's his, that's what he does.
Does
Hi,
he?
Are you gay? You're going to hell.
Does he do that?
That something similar to that. Absolutely. I've seen video footage of him walking up to people and telling, asking them about their beliefs and saying, how does it feel about you going to hell? Wow, man.
That's not cool.
No, it's not. He's 48 years old today. And then Adam Rich from 8 is Enough.
There's a troubled guy.
He's also 50 years old today.
Remember they found him, he'd thrown a brick through a pharmacy window and they found him on the floor?
He had some drug problems.
A little bit.
Yeah, big time. So hopefully he's doing okay now. But he was the cute kid du jour when 8 is Enough is on.
You couldn't escape the little prick.
So he's 50 today. Let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. In what American war did we first see the earliest use of a submarine in military action? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Derek. Hey, Derek, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Good. Do you know the answer?
Yeah, it was the Revolutionary War. They used a submarine called the Turtle against the British. It was a single-man, hand-operated wooden barrel.
There you go.
The dude knows what he's talking about. Yes. That is correct.
You were shaking your head no.
He was impressed with his knowledge of the answer.
I'm just like, wow. Okay, this guy has done his research. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It was a single man. It was technically used in military service, and it was the first use of a submarine. So, Derek, hang on the line. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you a pair of tickets to see Adam Conover of True TV's Adam Ruins Everything at North 7th, formerly the Electric Factory. It's on Saturday, December 1st. Tickets are on sale now via Ticketmaster.com. Let's start off with Harvey Weinstein. And we'll begin by saying that the criminal case against him was dealt a bit of a setback yesterday. Prosecutors representing the Manhattan District Attorney's Office dropped one of the six charges against him. Prosecutor Joan Eluzzi Orban told a judge Thursday that the DA was dropping the charge connected to one of his three court accusers, Lucia Evans, and she was one of the first of 80-plus women to come forward with allegations against Weinstein, but only three cases have moved forward to trial. In an article in the New York Times published a year ago, Wednesday, Evans first shared her story. The article said that forced her to perform oral sex on him in 2004.
So, she was the one that apparently the police became aware of, and they had put a little bug on her to go back and talk to Weinstein, and they got some audio.
Okay.
And so some of that audio was at the key of this trial.
But in a letter to the defense unsealed in court on Thursday, it appears that there is a counter-narrative and that Evans' interaction with Weinstein appears to have been consensual, according to them. The letter reads, according to the witness, the complainant Evans told the witness that the complainant had gone to the defendant's office where the defendant told her in substance that he would arrange for the complainant to receive an acting job if she agreed to perform oral sex upon him. According to the witness, the complainant told her that she thereupon performed oral on the defendant.
Okay, all right, so this whole process, I mean, you know, he's allegedly been doing this for years.
Yes.
Offering acting roles. Are we ever going to hear from casting agents who were usurped, directors who were, like, just handed these women saying, so-and-so is going to play this part?
Well, in effect, we have sort of. We've heard Peter Jackson come forward and say that he can verify that they shut down actresses like Mira Sorvino.
But what about the other side?
I'm not familiar that deep into the case other than the accusations against him, which are many.
Weinstein's legal team, by the way, led by Benjamin Braffman, accused Evans of committing perjury when she testified before a grand jury that Weinstein forced her to perform oral. Sexual assault is a serious crime, Braffman said outside the courtroom, but falsely accusing someone of sexual assault is also a serious crime. Braffman said Evans' counter-narrative about her account
was uncovered by a fact checker at the New Yorker. He plans to subpoena the magazine. Braffman also argued the case is permanently and irreparably damaged by the development and noted that he plans to call for a dismissal. A lawyer for Evans, meanwhile, said that she is disappointed that the DA abandoned her. Weinstein has pleaded not guilty to all six charges and remains free on $1 million bail.
I was reading that the case here may be that they're going to dump out on this because they have so many others that have substantial...
That might be worth...
Let's just do this.
Yeah.
We'll get the same result if we just go with this one instead.
Okay. It's possible. We'll see and we'll follow it for you. Kanye West made a trip to the White House yesterday and had a face-to-face meeting with Donald Trump during the rapper's lunch meeting at the Oval Office. Kanye wore a red Make America Great Again hat and spoke to Trump and ranted for about 10 minutes about prison reform, mental health, the 13th Amendment, and his love for the president. According to CNN, Kanye explained wearing the hat and said that, "I think it's the bravery that helps you beat this game called life. They tried to scare me to not wear this hat, my own friends, but this hat, it gives me power in a way." Did you watch his
I did watch a bit of it, yeah.
Understand any of it.
It was kind of interesting. I was very impressed when he and Melania performed Poopity Scoop.
Wasn't that nice? I couldn't. The dude is all over the place. When he speaks, it's like it's stream of consciousness.
Yeah, and he said he has mental issues that he deals with and takes medication for. So it was a wild shot, though.
But he was misdiagnosed and he does not suffer from bipolar disorder. So I don't know, man. Dude is all over the place.
He's a runaway train. Yeah. However, it firmly established to me that they need to refinish the desk in the Oval Office.
Yeah, you don't care for that?
Yeah, a little nick, couple of nicks
there. Oh, come on, man. That's
gotta finish it up. Polish that sucker up.
Maybe perhaps he should have some thoughts written down on a piece of paper or something along those lines when you're going to go. I mean, there's so many people there. But I wonder what Kanye's actual motives are. I wonder if he perhaps is not as...
I can't keep the Poopity Scoop going on in the background.
I'm not going political here or anything like that, but I wonder if he's not as big of a Trump supporter as you would maybe think. But he's playing to Trump's ego, and he's, you know what I mean? And
I
maybe
don't know.
That's a way to get into that door.
I will freely admit I have no idea.
I can't tell what the guy, you can never tell what the guy's going to do, man.
Nope.
But it's working for him because he's making a gazillion dollars.
He is still a juggernaut. Mm-hmm. His last album was a huge seller. Yeah. Poopity Scoop.
Riverdale star Camila Mendez is finally in a happier place after struggling for years with bulimia.
She had bulimia?
Yeah, she opens up to Shape magazine for their November cover story and explains why she devotes time to discussing her recovery on social media. The 24-year-old says, "I realized that I have this platform and young women and men who look up to me. And there is a tremendous power to do something positive with it. It was definitely a very vulnerable thing to put out there to almost 12 million people on social media. But that's who I am. That's me being authentically myself."
I love her. She's a perfect addition to the cast. She's very sexy, but she's also her character's... It's a variation on her character that they do on Riverdale, and I like the way they present her.
Preston, I know you're a huge comic, Archie's comic book guy.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. Would I be into this show?
You don't need to. You don't need to know anything about the comics. This show is a trip, you know?
Yeah. And in fact, there were variations on the comic books that started a couple of years ago where they had them encountering zombies. And they had them doing things. I didn't read the series, but there was apparently a time travel element.
Really?
So, the whole Riverdale world became sort of more like a just a stop off. So the classic characters you remember, they just incorporated them into all these fantastical stories. And that's when the series just took off again.
Oh, see, I don't know anything about that stuff. I just know the old storyline.
Yeah.
And
where's that suitcase full of comics at? Is that back at your house?
Yeah, it's in my house. There might be some Archies in there. I didn't collect all that stuff. Mainly, we got the thick books that they had, the little condensed ones.
Okay.
That just had tons of different
I used to love them as a kid, just the original stories.
Yeah.
The cartoon I was a fan of.
Yeah.
You know,
I was too.
Archie.
Yep. And I read some of the spinoffs, the Sabrina comics
as
well.
Yes, absolutely.
They had tie-ins to that, too. So But anyhow, Mendez says she started struggling with bulimia in high school, explaining that she used to see food, especially carbs, as the enemy. She said, I was so scared of carbs that I wouldn't let myself eat bread or rice, and I'd go a week without eating them, and then I'd binge on them, and then it would make me want to purge. I said if I ate a sweet, I would be like, oh, my God, I'm not going to eat for 5 hours now. I was always punishing myself. I was even anxious about healthy food. Did I eat too much of that avocado? Did I have too many fats for one day? I was consumed with the details of what I was eating, and I always felt as if I was doing something wrong. But after receiving treatment through a therapist and recruiting a nutritionist, she says that it's gotten better, but she still has tough days. She said the voices in my head never completely go away. They're just way quieter now.
It's tough when there's one or two family members who've dealt with various eating disorders, not in the immediate family, but in the extended family. And it's akin to, it's like an alcoholism thing. You always battle it throughout your entire life.
Yeah, it can take over everything. But I like her. She's cool. I like her version of Veronica.
Yeah.
She's really cool. So Camila Mendez. Dakota Johnson just recently started publicly acknowledging her romance with Chris Martin, and her openness was greeted perhaps inevitably with a flurry of pregnancy rumors.
Ooh.
The 29-year-old joined Ellen DeGeneres on her show Thursday to set the record straight. Johnson said, "The only thing I'm pregnant with is a lot of really good ideas, but not any babies." Johnson...
Oh, she is a card.
Also,
She's good.
A little background into how the rumors got started. She says it was my birthday, and there were balloons that happened to be pink and blue, and so there I was, pregnant. And I didn't know that the balloons were going to be released. They just they were just in an arch, but I guess that accidentally happened. One of the ends just let go. Many assume the balloon release was a gender reveal party. Earlier this month, Johnson told the Tattler that her romance with the 41-year-old singer. She said, I'm not going to talk about it, but I am very happy. But now she's kind of talking about it.
We were talking about self-deprecation as an attribute that really makes you like someone.
Yeah.
That's her. She makes fun of herself all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Julia Roberts and Oprah Winfrey have both been the subject of rampant, often unkind media speculation for decades. So when Roberts sat down with Winfrey for a cover story in Harper's Bazaar, the subject of hurtful tabloid rumors naturally came up. She said, Stedman and I lived in the tabloids for so many years, and it was hard on his family members and some of my family members. And I couldn't imagine if we had children and every other week there was some story about him leaving me getting dumped, or me leaving him. And she also went on to ask Julia Roberts how she keeps the negative rumors about her husband, Danny Motor, and the kids.
She just keeps motoring.
She keeps motoring.
Yes!
They have twins who are 13 years old, Hazel and Finn, and a younger brother named Henry, who is 11 years old. But apparently she keeps the rumors at bay by motoring. The 50-year-old says, sometimes we are in the grocery store and I won't even know something is out, but we'll see a tabloid and we'll all be standing there like, oh, that's uncomfortable. This is really uncomfortable. It can still hurt my feelings, she said, because I'm so proud of my marriage.
Oh, no.
We just celebrated being married for 16 years this 4th of July, Casey's birthday. And
what did you say? Me in America.
You in America.
America.
And there's so much happiness wrapped up in what we found together.
It is kind of cool that their marriage has gone on this long.
I think it is also because apparently he was not in the industry, was he?
Was he
a key grip or services or something like that?
He's a camera guy, right?
Yeah, all right. There you go. So it's not like a high profile that still works.
Yep.
I like it. I like her. I like her big teeth.
You like her big
teeth? I do. I like her big toothy smile.
Nice big teeth.
Yes.
Pretty teeth.
Like Kathy.
Yeah. Steve Carell says The Office revival won't happen, but not for the reason that you may think. He says that Michael Scott's sense of humor wouldn't fly today. He tells Esquire, because The Office is on Netflix and replaying, a lot more people have seen it recently, and I think because of that, there's been a resurgence in interest in the show, and talk about bringing it back. But apart from the fact that I just don't think that's a good idea, it might be impossible to do the show today and have people accept it the way it was accepted 10 years ago.
It's so sharply funny, and there's so many great moments and elements of it. You know,
I think it would fly. And honestly, I think this. I think just for a one-off, I think this cast could definitely make it work. Everyone who's been a who was a part of it says they would love to do it.
Yeah.
But you look at what Steve Carell's got going on career-wise now. There's a lot of stuff, and you have Krasinski, who's you know, got the Jack Ryan series, and also he's directing a Quiet Place. So I mean, they've got other stuff on their schedules.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian reunited with Alice Johnson several months after convincing Donald Trump to commute her life sentence. The pair made a joint appearance Thursday at Google's headquarters in Mountain View to discuss prison reform.
Good girl.
Kardashian posted a selfie in Instagram stories, and they were joined by Hall of Fame running back Jim Brown, Ivanka Trump, and the son-in-law Jared Kushner. So
all at Google.
Yeah, all at Google.
Did they eat at the cafeteria there?
I don't know where the picture was taken, but I got to believe it was in the cafeteria.
They have a pretty badass cafeteria there at the main Google headquarters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You ever see that movie where Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson are attempting to become interns at Google?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I remember the film, but I didn't see it. And they shot it at the...
It looked like
okay.
It was, you know?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, a company like that's got to have pretty badass cafeteria.
Yeah.
As good as Subaru?
It's pretty
in that range.
We love Subaru.
Subaru and Campbell's both have pretty awesome cafeterias.
But Campbell's when you look up Subaru online, you need to use Google. So, you know, there you go.
Kathleen Turner's next big role will be as the Duchess of Krakenthorpe.
She's going to play the Kraken?
No, she's the Duchess of Krakenthorpe. It will be in The Daughter of the Regiment. It's a non-singing role. The Academy and Tony Award nominated 64-year-old star will grace 7 performances of the comic opera on February 7th to March 1st.
What do you think her singing voice is like?
Harvey Weinstein.
Right, yeah.
Or not Harvey Weinstein. Harvey
Firestein.
Harvey Firestein.
They both would have horrible voices.
Yes, they would.
I can't imagine Harvey Weinstein has the voice of an angel.
The last of which will be televised to...
Midnight, and the kitties are sleeping. All alone they are sleeping.
He's in Cats?
Just like Kit Kats do.
Just like Kit Kats do.
That's not the word.
No, that's Kathleen.
That's Kathleen Turner.
Yeah.
The kitty cats do.
If you want to, you can go pet the kitty cats.
I still love when we had her here, and Casey.
She was great.
Casey revealed that one of his first excited moments as a child was seeing her wet T-shirt in the Romancing the Stone, and she paused and she just goes, "Well, isn't that nice?"
Well, isn't that nice?
She is fully aware. Again, someone who's self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber too.
Yep.
They show up. She's working on a car.
Excuse me, sir.
Excuse me.
Yeah. And she had to.
She
goes
with
it. It's in the script.
It's in the script.
She had to have said, "I'm not going to do that."
Yeah. Excuse me, sir.
Yep.
She played Chandler's dad on Friends.
Yeah, she did.
She gets it.
Yeah. If you want to see somebody who can take that joke just as well, you got to watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
Whoever the voice is of Lois. Griffin.
Yes. Yeah.
I forget her name. She was on Mad TV.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
She's great.
Yeah.
She just won an Emmy for that performance. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So This Is Us. That's your show, right, Kathy?
Yeah.
All right. Do you know who Chrissy Metz is?
Uh-huh.
She's okay. the larger, the softic woman.
All right. So it says here, body positive star Chrissy Metz.
That we're body positive stars, Preston.
Reveals that she only recently felt comfortable wearing a swimsuit in public. She said, "I grew up wearing a T-shirt at the pool."
Yeah. She's big.
She's very big. Like, she's lost some weight.
I thought at the beginning of the show when I first started watching, I'm like, is that really her? Like, is that her body, or are they making her look bigger? But it's her.
So you were engaged in body shaming as well.
Stop it.
She's 38 years old.
She is freaking huge.
She told Glamour in her November cover story for the magazine, "As an adult, I was like, I am going to find a bathing suit that I like, and I'm going to wear it." She said, "It's a backhanded compliment, but I'm doing what I want to do." So she finally feels a little bit better about herself.
She's really pretty.
You know who does bathing suits for what is called plus size? But Ashley Alexis, our former calendar girl, she has a whole line of bathing suits that are for.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they listen, the vast majority of people fall in the range, that range. You know, the limited element is the Victoria's Secret model who weighs 14 pounds.
Yep, agreed. So the creative team behind the Conners knows that it has a problem. The ABC spinoff of the wildly successful and canceled Roseanne has to hold on to the show's old audience, many of whom are loyal to the ousted star, without alienating people who were offended by the tweet that got her fired. So how will her absence be handled?
I know how they could do it all.
Okay.
Put it on a space station.
Okay.
Have the Conners in space, like the Robinsons and Lost in Space.
I like your idea of just having her in the bathroom.
Have her in the bathroom.
Time. All the time.
All the freaking time.
So the executive producer, Bruce Rasmussen, told Variety, we want people to watch the show and see what happens and how we wrote her off.
It's a competent cast. You have Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman. You have talented people. So, you know, let's see what happens.
He said, you don't want to be flip about how you do this. A lot of people cared about the character, and it's separate from whatever feelings they had about the person and her political views and the things she said. We wanted to honor that character. People can have their opinions after that. So it's coming out on Tuesday, 8 o'clock on ABC.
We'll see. We'll see how it does.
We shall see. Oscar-nominated Hailee Steinfeld.
We love her.
I love her.
She's super talented.
A crazy crush on her. Will host this year's MTV EMAs Awards on November 14th. Is that the European Movie Awards?
I think you're probably right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
She will also perform. This year's party kicks off in Bilbao, Spain.
Bilbao, Spain.
I guess that's how you pronounce it.
It is, yeah.
Okay, Bilbao.
It's in southern Spain, and there's
Bilbao.
A famous Gary Museum there.
Gary?
Gary.
Frank S. Gary, yeah.
Gary! Gary!
Last year, she grabbed the Best Push Act, and this year, she's nominated in the Best Pop category alongside Ariana Grande, Camila Cabello, Dua Lipa, and Shawn Mendes.
So it's not movie awards. It's European Music Awards, or...
You know what? That must be it.
Okay.
MTV European Music Awards.
Here's a picture of her holding the award.
Ooh. She's a lovely girl.
Yeah.
Lovely and talented, a good voice, and quite an actress.
She is a good actress.
She's a good actress.
Does she have a pop music career?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, I don't. I'm not familiar with her career. I just know her work on Pitch Perfect 2 and 3.
Yeah. She was also in True Grit, right?
She was the girl in True Grit. Yep. She's been in a couple of movies that have been pretty decent. She was in Ender's Game as well. And
she's a good actress, good singer.
Yeah. The EMAs, she said, are a show where anything can happen. I can't wait to host a night filled with incredible artist performances, some surprises of my own. Let's do this, Bilbao. All right, let's do clips here. The filming of First Man.
Oh, it opens today.
Tried its best to be as historically accurate as possible for our first trip to the moon. And here Ryan Gosling talks about how trying to be accurate affected him.
Just sitting in these really carefully reconstructed capsules, having astronauts that were involved in those missions, like, talking to me in my ear through the scenes. It was a very, very surreal process, sort of an opportunity that I still can't believe I got to have.
Shut up, dummy.
And if you're listening very closely, you heard Casey fart during that.
Is that right?
No, you didn't.
Did you fart?
No.
You lifted your butt up and I heard something.
I was cracking. You might have heard my back crack.
You lifted your butt up and I heard something.
You might have heard my back cracking.
Your back cracks as loudly as one of your farts.
You looked at me and smiled.
I thought you farted.
It's a wonder you're not totally paralyzed.
I just like you a lot, Preston.
Maybe it was.
Looked at you. I thought.
Your chairman.
So, Preston.
We had a moment.
This movie needs to be seen in IMAX. You agree?
Yes.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
And the reviews are tremendous, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. The thing that they say is what it may lack in dramatic, or as far as the character of really feeling you get to know Neil Armstrong, the accuracy and the depiction of everything involved with the space flight, with his just general test flights as a younger man, all that stuff is incredibly
accurately depicted, and it will blow you away.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this. First Man is in theaters today.
Damien Chazelle.
Let's do the next clip here. Bad Times at the El Royale is a movie that is heavily influenced by music. And here, actor Kaylee Spaney talks about how Drew Goddard approached the relationship of music to the characters. Here we go.
Drew was very passionate about the songs. He gave me a playlist the second I got cast, and he was big on all the other cast members finding their own music that inspired them, that fit their character. He was very hands-on with the music aspect to it.
Shut the f*** up!
And, of course, the soundtrack was done by Michael Giacchino, who we had on day before yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it looks really cool. It's got a very cool flavor to it.
I love things like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know who's up to what and who's good and who's bad and multiple stories running at once.
I'm curious if Jeff Bridges in this, if he talks like this or not. He doesn't?
No. Okay. He plays what you're led to believe is a priest. Apparently in the trailer that's not the case.
Okay.
Did you ever see Hella High Water?
Not that I remember.
Oh, no, he's
that
not.
Kind of guy.
He
is so... freaking good in Hella High Water. Okay. Unbelievable.
But the way he's been talking, I don't know if that's a character or if that's just the way he talks anymore. Because
he kicks it up a little bit, yeah.
He was doing that in, doesn't he do that in Crazy Heart too, Press?
That's the same kind of character, though.
Not quite as much.
He does it in Kingsman.
Kingsman, he definitely does. And there were a couple other roles that he was doing that. And I'm like, wow, I wonder if he's just, you know, you get to your age, your voice and your mouth works a little bit differently.
Your teeth keep falling out.
Well, that can happen too. but anyhow, Bad Times at the El Royale is in theaters now. It opens today. There you go. So I got the entertainment report. I have bad news. Paul Stanley's not going to be here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He canceled.
Oh, man.
He flat out canceled.
So during that break, I had to text about 3 or 4 people that, he's not going to be on. Yeah.
Oh, that were on their way?
Yeah. Well, Dwayne, you know, my trainer, is a massive Kiss fan. And so he said, yeah, come on in.
Yeah, apparently the rain and the storms overnight really messed with his travel. And so he wasn't able to come in early.
Okay.
And so his thing isn't until later on tonight. So, I mean, if you're really, really excited about seeing this art exhibition, that should be okay, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Jeannie Francis is still coming.
Yeah! Now that's rock and roll!
Yeah. All right, so Jeannie Francis, Laura of General Hospital, will be here.
I understand it's wet outside. We won't be able to make it. Perhaps you should send someone from a soap opera. I'm Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons. Maybe he can come by.
Yeah!
Get Gene to come by. We'll tell him that we have food from Gottschall's Turkey Bacon.
Yeah.
So we also have comedians Sam Tripoli and Eddie Bravo who are going to be popping in. They're performing at Punchline tonight. And it's one show only, 10 p.m. only, from what I understand.
So their show's often been called the Kiss of Comedy.
It makes up for
which shows?
Paul Stanley.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Birthday Bucks coming up, too. So let's take a break, come back in a second. We'll have a chance to win $1,000 via close to 8 o'clock. We will return in a moment.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Restorations. Celebrating our area's best talent.
But I don't want to hear that name again.
Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Restorations, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
You guys, our 50-day March of Metallica continues. And today, we here on the President Steve Show have your chance to win. And today, we're going to give you, not right now, but at some point during the show, we're going to give you Death Magnetic and Hardwired CDs, and we will give you tickets to the concert.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're going to, at some point, take a caller, so make sure that you are listening. And, of course, you'll be qualified for the grand prize, which is a chance to meet the band and get the custom Metallica Orion 65 cooler. So all the details are at WMMR.com.
Metallica is one of those bands that, you know, I know the people who were not even, like, just sort of mild fans or, going to go check them out for the spectacle. Everyone who's ever seen, that I know, that's seen a Metallica show comes away like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a, it's a, an experience.
Yep, they are a stadium band, no question. And by the way, I want to thank Godshall's Turkey Bacon for being here this morning, feeding our guests in the studio. We got lots of great stuff. They brought breakfast burritos, which are really good. I had one. Turkey bacon sliders, turkey scrapple cheddar sliders as well, and candied bacon cheesecake stuffed French toast.
They have, is that what that is out there?
Tons of recipes, yes, that you can get at Godshall's.com. And, of course, they are real wood-smoked from facilities powered by 4,000 solar panels. So we'll do some giveaways in a little while in conjunction with them. Let's do the Bizarre File, though.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre, Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Godshall's, of course.
Hey!
You buy bacon for your family. Remember, only Godshall's packs this much real wood-smoked flavor with 80% less fat than pork bacon, and only Godshall's turkey bacon. Let's start in South Carolina. A man turned violent in a dispute over salt and vinegar potato chips. Ryan Dean Langdale had warned his 17-year-old cousin not to eat his chips.
Don't
when
eat
his
my chips.
Relative did, Langdale shot him.
Shot him.
Shot him.
Because of the chips.
The cousin said that Langdale had warned him, and I quote, "Do not touch my chips or I'll shoot you."
And what did he do?
Well,
he shot him.
He shot him. Langdale now faces additional charges because the story he originally gave to authorities didn't add up, they said. Langdale reported the incident as an accidental shooting. The sheriff's office said Langdale told deputies his cousin had accidentally shot himself by dropping a hunting rifle while cleaning it.
Uh-huh.
The sheriff's office said, "We knew from the beginning that something wasn't right. The more we looked into it, the more it seemed odd." So dude shot his cousin.
They did an intense session of good chip, bad chip, and that's how they got it out of him.
It was over the salt and vinegar potato chips.
Do you like those chips?
They're my favorite.
Yeah. I love them.
No kidding.
They're really good.
I love them.
Kettle cooked or regular?
I'll take either, okay, as long as it's got that salt and vinegar flavor. If you live in a big city, you likely spot some poop on the sidewalk from time to time. But a new study reveals you're far more likely to see poop in
San Francisco
than any other in place in the country.
I love San Francisco.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Bennett.
Thank you.
Is here
this
morning.
Thank you so much.
Yes, you're more likely
to see. It's in my heart.
You're more likely to see poop in
knee deep in dookie
in San Francisco than you are in New York or Chicago.
Seems like years ago I was out. Little young man running around building poop men.
That's right.
Like snowmen with corncob pipes,
but
carrots for noses and coal for eyes.
You're more likely to see poop in the city by the bay than the city that never sleeps or
and it smells so good.
My kind of town, Chicago.
Thank God it has a lot of wind.
The study was conducted by real estate listing website Realty Hop and used publicity available.
You want to know the reality? It's a lot of poop.
And 311 data to find there were 21,000 complaints about feces logged in San Francisco in 2017.
Logged. I get it.
And that is 10 times as many in New York City and 20 times more than Chicago.
Is that not staggering that that many people are crapping on the streets?
The number of poop-related complaints logged in San Francisco has risen every year since 2011, and the data...
God, I gotta get back there.
The data shows no correlation between median home value and feces sightings. In general...
People are so free there, Preston. They just drop trow and let it pour out.
In general, people were most likely to complain about feces sightings on Mondays than Tuesdays.
You know that big curvy road out there in San Francisco, Preston?
Yeah, that's
Lombard
Street, yeah.
I want to poop on every curve. I almost made it once.
And they are far more relaxed about seeing the stinky stuff on the weekends, by the way. So,
well, weekends are the time for dookie.
That's right. So, lots.
Beautiful city.
Way more poop
bathed
than
in human poop.
Ever anticipated.
It's unbelievable. You've had... I mean, the amount of stories coming out of there is just ridiculous.
Lots of stories.
They may need to look into correcting that.
Dude, when we were in Copenhagen in Denmark and we were taking a walking tour of the city.
Don't tell me it can beat San Francisco for poop.
I don't know, but I saw.
I don't want to hear it.
A fresh pile.
Of human poop?
Of human poop that our tour
guide. Now you're making me homesick.
Pointed out to us and it was next to a very significant historical statue.
Oh, my God.
It was fresh, still moist human feces. Nasty.
It just defies all reason.
All right. Moving on. A crash.
Why?
A crash between a log truck
Again with the logs.
And another vehicle has police saying that one of the drivers is lucky to be alive. It happened Tuesday afternoon in Louisiana. The log truck was stopped at a red light when the second vehicle slammed into the rear. When the vehicles collided, a log went through the front windshield and all the way to the back glass. And I mean, right through the driver's side.
Dear God.
And I saw the picture of it. It looked amazing. Mm. The woman was able to move her head to avoid being hit by the log. There was also a one-year-old child in the back seat, and no one was injured in it. If you saw the photo, you'd be amazed. Now, somebody didn't get killed in this. Police
this is astonishing.
They're still investigating the crash. It was a very big log, by the way.
I used to have a present. It was kind of made the rounds years ago. It was a DVD of highway safety films. Mm-hmm. And in this film, they show the different crashes that can result from erratic driving and not paying attention to the road. Yeah. And this truck driver was transporting rebar. Oh, so he has the rebar in the back of the truck. He had to slam on the brakes, collided with something. All those bars of rebar blew through the cab, through him.
Yeah.
So he's got like seven rebar sticking through his chest.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Terrible.
Did he die?
He died.
Yeah.
Two more stories. Healdsburg police are hoping to nail the thief who snatched a hammer, but not just any hammer. It's a 20-foot-long hammer. It's made from steel and wood, and the hardware theft couldn't have been easy because it weighs about 1,000 pounds.
I bet when he tried to pick it up, he pooped.
It's part of an art installation program and was on loan. The hammer was discovered missing last Friday from the front of the Healdsburg Community Center, and they have no idea who could have gotten away with this thing. It's gigantic.
It's very impressive.
It's really cool looking.
I think, who wouldn't want that on their front lawn?
And I saved the best, sort of.
You started with the best, my friend.
For last. This is from Scotland. A man is fighting for his life after a dog bit off his penis and testicles.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
You are a murderer. You're a hater. You're...
Okay. Emergency services raced to the scene in Haddington East, Lothian, after the alarm was raised on Sunday. Cops found the 22-year-old victim unconscious in a pool of blood in his apartment.
Oh, my God.
An old English bulldog, which was drenched in gore, was also found at the property. It is understood that the animal belonged to a friend of the man. Ambulance crews called for police backup, and the victim was rushed to Edinburgh Royal Infirmary for treatment. He's now thought to be in a coma, having to be removed, having to move to Western General Hospital.
Well, there's no coming back from that. You've been mauled. You've had your junk destroyed.
He lost his penis and both of his testicles as a result of the attack.
So that was he doing the old trick where you put the little cheese treat on top of your penis?
I don't know. The victim hasn't been interviewed by cops, and he hasn't regained consciousness since the incident. The dog is being held in a kennel while cops carry out a probe, and it's not known if the man owns the dog. A source said officers who were there are confident the injuries were caused by the dog because of the extent of the damage. They
said fairly confident that the dog bit his schlong off.
The police officer said everyone there was shocked and sickened by it. So that's...
Sounds
wow.
A gory, bloody mess.
God, that is messed up. All right, and there you go. What I got in the bizarre file for you this morning.
That was tough.
Let's give away some turkey bacon.
Turkey bacon!
I have a six-pack of coupons good for six full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon, and I will take colors 10, 11, and 12 at 215-263-WMMR, and I will give those to you right now, so give us a call, and we'll set you up with that. We're going to take a break. Got a couple of guests coming up. Sam Tripoli's going to be here, and Eddie Bravo. They're appearing at Punchline tonight, one night only, by the way, 10 o'clock show. And Jeannie Francis.
Yes.
Who played Laura of Luke and Laura, or still does, General Hospital.
How freaking cool is that?
And she's stopping in this morning, too. Yes, Case?
And the next song we play is going to celebrate MMR weekend 1983.
Ooh. Yes. What will it be? Let's find out when we get back. Stay there.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Stone Temple Pilots. The record company. I got this love to fix. Threw it all out. Shinedown. It's about to get
heavy. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
The next two guys here in our studio are promoting a one-night-only event, and it is happening at Punchline, 10 o'clock. It is the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night.
Very cool.
Welcoming back Sam Tripoli and also Eddie Bravo.
Yeah!
This morning on the show. Gentlemen, welcome back to Philadelphia.
Good to be back.
Good to see you, sir.
Good to be back in the saddle, yeah, where it all began, the truth, the liberty.
The Freemasons.
The Freemasons.
Yes.
And
the
there you go. People.
The Freemasons.
You know, we've been invited to go down and check out and perhaps
the Masonic Temple.
Were you
the weird sex parties? Is that what you're talking about?
That's what we're hearing.
Were you in the Rothschilds where basmic devil goat faces and make weird love to each other? Is that what you're talking about?
It'd be kind of cool. I have to admit.
Yeah, it would.
You watch enough Kubrick, and you're up for that.
It gets weird, homeboy.
So explain to people what, because your podcast and what you guys do together and your audience tonight, what people can expect from the show and the presentation. Eddie, do you want to take it?
Well, it's called Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. And
yeah.
It's tonight at Punchline, right?
Yep.
And the club names get confusing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Bone, Punchline.
When you're on tour.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're just dropping some truth bombs, but having lots of fun at the same time. Most comedians have conspiracy theory humor.
Absolutely.
And jokes. Most of them do. Just a little. Cat Williams has a whole bunch of jokes that are conspiracy related. Same thing with Dave Chappelle. That one joke, he's talking about AIDS. He said the government said AIDS came from effing monkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how hard it is to effing monkeys. You know, that's
his thing. But
so
everyone's sort of
like
drawn.
Combining,
yeah.
The whole show is kind of like that.
Everyone's sort of drawn to conspiracy theories. Whether you are engaged and you know it's the focus of what a lot of the time you spend thinking about things. You're thinking about these conspiracy theories. You can be back one level and enjoy the whole panacea of conspiracy theories. So there's something for everyone if you want to get in on it.
Yeah.
The great thing and we always talk about it. The great thing about a conspiracy theory is no matter how out there it is, if you are an advocate for that conspiracy, anyone who doesn't believe it is part of the conspiracy. So it works out.
Well, that is a big problem. Yeah. Like, you know, within the community, if you don't see the conspiracy exactly the way they see it, they call, like, I get called a gay Jew shill constantly. I'm not Jewish, I'm not gay, but I'm just get called it constantly.
Right, right.
It's just a weird thing, man. This show is really about, listen, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. It's out of your hands, but let's have a fun discussion about it. And I think people, they get too concerned with that changing the world. And for me, it's just like control yourself and what you can do in the world. Treat others well. You see a guy in the street, don't think he's a bum and a scumbag and just a drug addict. Man, you don't know his journey. Give him $5. Treat people well around the world.
That's sage advice. Eddie, we were reading about you, first time meeting you. You have a really interesting backstory. You're a very accomplished martial artist, but you came in, you were a musician initially, correct?
Yeah, I moved to Hollywood to be a rock star.
Right.
That didn't work out. But I started doing martial arts just to stay in shape so I wouldn't be a fat rock star.
Started with karate, right?
Yes.
And then moved on to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
I wrestled in high school.
Okay, so you had some chops.
Karate, then moved into an offshoot of the Bruce Lee system.
Jiu-Jitsu?
A little bit of that.
I took that.
Danny Inasano was one of Bruce Lee's students.
Yeah.
He was in Game of Death. He's the guy that at the end of Game of Death with the nunchuck bat.
Yeah. That wow.
Guy. I trained under one of his proteges. And then I saw UFC 2 and saw Royce Gracie destroy everybody with jiu-jitsu. And I thought, okay, I need to do some of that. So I got into jiu-jitsu, again, just to stay in shape. I didn't want to be like Yngwie Malmsteen. He got fat for a while there. And I thought, don't want to be that guy.
I saw Yngwie in his bad stage. It was
really, he looks great now.
And it was an unbelievable display of guitar playing. Obviously, it's what he's known for. But everyone was
he's amazing.
You need to have a salad, dude.
And he lost the weight. He looks great now. And he's like 55 or something.
I think everybody needs to go through a fat stage, though.
Yeah.
I think it's healthy for you, to be honest, mentally. Yeah.
So actually, Preston did Krav Maga, that got him, that helped him to lose weight.
Now it's like 65 pounds. So that's what I did, mainly for physical fitness and a little bit of self-defense as well.
That's what self-defense does. I mean, that's what martial arts does for you.
But you got really good.
I got okay. And what happened was before the thought of even opening a jiu-jitsu association, I never thought of teaching jiu-jitsu. I was just doing it as a hobby. And I was DJing at strip clubs. And then I met Joe. Joe Rogan in jiu-jitsu. And he was a well-established comedian. And I've always been obsessed with comedy.
Yeah.
And Joe thought I could do it.
He was doing the Man Show at the time?
No, but this is before the man show.
Okay.
So I started doing a little bit of stand-up and realized, man, I'm going to have to put a lot of work into it. It's just like martial arts.
Yeah, right?
You have to put a lot of work into it. A real comedian goes out 4 or 5 times a week just to get practice on stage. A public speaking is no joke. It's like a sport. So I realized, you know what? I don't have the time to put into a comedy, so I'll just write with Joe. So I kind of just, you know, would give Joe some ideas. And then the man show came up.
Right.
And Joe got hired. Joe hired me as a writer. And I started writing for the man show.
It's cool.
And that, it wasn't cool.
It wasn't?
It was the worst job I've ever had.
Really? How so?
It would take an hour to explain. From day one, it was
awful.
It was awful.
Okay.
And I quit my DJ job that I had for 10 years at the strip club where I was making good money. I told the strip club, F you.
Yeah.
I'm going on to Hollywood. We're going to blow up. I'm blowing up, baby. I'm blowing up. And that first day I realized, oh, no, I made a big mistake. Uh-huh. Comedy Central at that point. The people that were in charge of the man show just treated everybody horrible.
You'd had a couple iterations. So you had the Adam Carolla and Kimmel were the first, and then you were the Doug Stanhope, and you had Rogan, and you had
When Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel decided to leave, Comedy Central wanted to keep it going.
Yeah.
So then they got Joe, and then Joe was like right in the middle of Fear Factor.
So for
him to go to a number one NBC show to do a Comedy Central show, he had to he made sure that he had ultimate power.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go into some cable show and then just be controlled. So, you know, that's how he brought me in. But the fact that he forced me in and I had no prior experience in TV, they didn't want to hire me. So Joe made them hire me. It was ugly. So from day one, they decided, okay, hire him, but treat him like garbage.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what happened. So
that sucks.
While I worked there, I realized, oh my God, here I'm 32. This show's going to get canceled. I'm gonna be unemployed. So I got really depressed at working on the show, writing comedy sketches, just super depressed. But I had this jiu-jitsu championship that I had to go to in Brazil during the man show. And me and Joe, we went. He went with me. And so that was like my last hurrah. Like, you know what? I'm going to be unemployed, but at least I got this free trip to Brazil to do this jiu-jitsu championships. So I went down there with no expectations. And then I beat the number one guy at my weight ever. And
who would be?
Hoyler Gracie.
Right. So
it was the brother.
That was
of
huge.
It was the brother.
It was huge bout.
It was huge. I tapped him out on TV down in Brazil. So I came back to the States.
I mean, you got to understand that this family is the family that basically created Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Correct.
Yeah. And I came back, walked off the show, quit the show, opened up 10 Planet Jiu-Jitsu, and decided, you know, no more comedy for me. I'm just going to do martial arts until the music blows up. So that didn't happen.
So where do you meet Sam in all this?
I took his class. Yeah. I was taking jiu-jitsu way back in the day.
But I knew Sam before that. I knew Sam when I my first attempt at comedy back in 2001.
Okay.
When I'm hanging out with Joe, we're at the Comedy Store like almost every weekend. Joe and Joey Diaz, they're both, you know, you got to get up on stage.
He's
just
awesome,
one day, they just said on a Sunday, we're at a coffee bean, and he said, tonight you're going up. Where I'm like, tonight I'm going up. Tonight you're going up. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
So that's how it all started. I knew Sam from back in those days, and then I opened up 10 Planet. Left comedy, opened up 10 Planet Jiu-Jitsu, and now I got about 100 schools. And after, I never stopped writing comedy. That's the one.
Yeah,
thing. I never
yeah.
stopped. So I thought one day I'm gonna go back up there and see what happens, because I quit because I knew how much time it would take. To master the art of public speaking in order to get your jokes out.
But you see, you do something, and Sam, you know this too. You'll see there are a lot of people who aren't aware of what you were aware of right from the beginning, that you have to invest the time. B, it's sort of insulting to people who are investing the time.
Right. Exactly.
And so ultimately, you basically let life happen, and then you revisited it when it made sense and when it was right, correct?
Well, I revisited it after I had 15 years of public speaking experience teaching seminars all over the world.
Right, right.
Teaching jiu-jitsu. And then just because I had that little stint in comedy, I became kind of known as like, you know, a martial arts instructor with a sense of humor. And I'd crack jokes every now and then.
Yeah.
It's always felt like. And then I would do bits. And when I'm doing seminars, they're giving me five, you know, they'll give me 5 minutes, you know. But in class at home in L.A., none of my students want to hear my jokes. They just
want to. They want the fight.
You know, yeah. They just want to learn. They're pointing at their wrists saying, "Coach, come on, it's time to go." I'm in the middle of a story. I'm constantly bombing every night at my home school. Bombing. So, I decided, you know, after 15 years, I told Sam was doing a show at the Comedy Store one Tuesday a month called Comedy Chaos. And I asked him, I said, Sam, you know what? I think I want to go up. And I got, because I never stopped writing, I got all this material. And I just wanted to see if all that teaching translated to that public speaking experience that I needed.
And how was that first experience?
Oh, man. The first, I didn't know what to expect, but the first after 15 years, it's sold out main room Comedy Store.
It's probably the biggest comedy room.
So yeah,
it's my show.
Your show, yeah.
It's about 400 seat room.
And yeah.
It's like the most prestigious room in Los Angeles for comedy. It's the main room at the Mecca of comedy, which is the Comedy Store. And dude,
so I jumped up, and the first thing I realized, like, these people don't want to do jujitsu. They're drunk.
Yeah.
They want to laugh.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing was, I got a mic.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, when you have a mic. I'm used to doing comedy without a mic is like running with weights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like, I knew, seriously, within 5 seconds, I knew that I'm like, man, this is going to be easy. Because these people do not want to do jujitsu.
It's funny that you got there. So that's awesome. But for you to achieve the level of a success, you know, with this and with the fighting, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm reading about you and Sam. Excuse me, because this is the first time I've
met you. No, it's all good.
Developing moves and signature moves that become associated with you, correct? If I'm reading that correctly, or is this sort of an apocryphal telling of there's certain moves, is it sort of a thing that embarrasses you? But you're known for certain signature moves that now other people are taught, correct?
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, well, illuminate me. Is there like a lab, or do you just say, let me try this? Or because when you talk about Bruce Lee, he created Jeet Kune Do as sort of an amalgamation of different styles.
Yeah.
And so... I'm just curious as to the process, how you develop, how you take something and say, okay, what if we...
Well, you bring up Bruce Lee, and I'm heavily influenced by Bruce Lee. And most people know Bruce Lee from, like, Enter the Dragon, fighting 50 dudes at one time. And, you know, you either believe it or you think, that's all, you know...
Hollywood.
That's all Hollywood. Yeah. But if you know the real Bruce Lee, was a man that started his own style, had an open mind, had taught, back in the 50s and 60s, it was taboo for an Asian man to teach foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know the real Bruce Lee, he fought to teach whoever he wanted to, white people, black people, Mexicans. I actually don't know if he taught Mexicans. It's just saying.
Why not?
Just saying Mexicans.
Just go ahead. Sam's okay with that.
But I was heavily influenced by Bruce Lee, and I thought everybody was. So when I started doing jiu-jitsu, I really took that Bruce Lee approach with, you know, have a truly an open mind, because nobody thinks they have a closed mind. Everybody thinks they're open minded.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you really have an open mind? Do you really, really have an open mind? So that was the number one rule for me in martial arts, was to have an open mind, but a real open mind, not just some pretend one. And I thought everybody was doing that.
Right.
So I got to a point where I got my own personal style together and organized and all written down. And I thought everybody else was doing it too, when there wasn't that many people doing it. You know, I'm not the only one, but...
No, to me, even because Preston and I are huge Bruce Lee fans. And, you know, the new movie's coming out, the new film, which looks intriguing. But, that whole process of him putting that together is always a fascinating aspect of taking something. And I don't know if this is fact, but it appeared that he ruffled feathers with some of the things that he incorporated, and that caused issues in the martial arts community. So when someone else does that, you don't hear about it that often. You know that you're...
Oh, there's major issues in the Brazilian jiu-jitsu community.
Yeah.
I'm considered the black sheep.
Really?
Outcast. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I love that. You may not love it, but to me, that's cool. That's badass.
Hey, can I
go ahead?
No.
The people at the top of the Brazilian jiu-jitsu community, they don't like me.
Really?
No. No, I'm definitely the Antichrist.
That's heavy duty.
Why do you think that is?
Because I question
techniques
and philosophies.
Dogma? Sounds like Bruce Lee.
I question all that.
Yeah,
you know. So
the rules are made so the people on the top can stay at the top. That's what it is. It's like wait your turn. So when you start questioning everything, it disrupts the hierarchy, and that happens in every genre of work.
And that's why I'm a conspiracy theorist. The same
there
way.
I'm questioning
jiu-jitsu, but I'm questioning.
See, but the cool part is, whatever conspiracy you're into, I'm going to believe it because you can kick my ass. Yeah. That helps.
That's true.
That helps.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever you believe, I believe.
What about flat Earth? You going to believe that?
All right, that helps.
Yeah. You better believe that. Choke you out. You know, at least pretend.
Pretend,
like you
exactly.
Believe it.
Okay. I believe
that's good enough.
That's good enough for you?
Yeah. Honestly, for it's illusion is reality.
I'll wait right out that door, man. talking about
who's this
brown
creepy
earth.
Andy Dick guy over here just staring through the window over there, creeping on everyone?
That's our boss.
That's Bill Weston.
That's the Illuminati right there.
Is that your guys' handler right there, huh?
You had a question?
Is he a lizard person?
Well, it's way off the topic, but I wanted to ask you about your strip club DJing days. And because I have a friend who actually DJs at a strip club here, and the way it worked for him is he actually rents the DJ booth from the club.
Is that how it works?
Yes. He'll give the club, like, I don't know, $100 or whatever, and then he gets paid like crazy by the dancers. And I wasn't sure if that worked the same for you.
I never had to rent the DJ booth. That's kind of weird. They actually, the club actually paid the DJs minimum wage, and you did get paid by the girls. The girls were required to tip you out $5 minimum.
Yeah.
You know, but you expected at least 10, 20, you know. Mm-hmm. You give me $5, I'm going to ignore you.
Yeah. You're going to get the worst songs.
You're going to get you know, you really can't go that far because you got to play the songs they pick. You got to. You start playing, the managers will come in. You can't do that. So you got to do little subtle things that you can't get busted for.
Like what?
Like what?
When you're in a conversation with someone, and then this $5 girl comes up and she starts asking you for something.
$5 girl.
You got to pretend like you really can't hear her. You got to just like, huh? Wait a minute, hold on. You just ignore them, but it can't be obvious.
Yeah. And you
just treat them like they don't matter.
All right, so you say $5 girl, but how many girls are working a club a night?
It all depends on the night.
Right?
It could be 8, it could be 35.
Okay, so like a Friday night, you'd be up to like 35, 40,
if you give
me
$5 because you had, you know, 5 lap dances, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
I love you. But if you did 35 dances and you give me $7.
Yes.
We got some problems.
That means you're playing deep Nickelback cuts? Is that where you're...
you got to play with...
Gosh diggity dang it.
If you could do that. Oh, man. I'd be playing Angel of Death for these girls.
So they pick all their own music?
Yeah, there was a time where you couldn't play rap, right? The clubs didn't want rap.
You can't play Slayer and you can't play gangster rap.
Can't go NWA on it?
It all depends on the club.
All right.
You know, some clubs,
it's a club
it's
for
all
everybody.
Rap.
That's what it's about.
Can you imagine a club that's all speed metal?
Yeah.
When I graduated college,
I went to work at a strip bar. That was a gift to myself. I didn't really want to go to college. I always wanted to be a stand-up. So when I graduated, I went to college. And I remember one day, it was Deja Vu in Las Vegas. And it was dead. I mean, there were like 20 guys in there. Nobody was getting dances. So me and the bouncer Malik, this giant black guy, we told the DJ, play some music. We're going to go strip. So we came up as Maverick and Chocolate Thunder, right? And all the dancers came up, and they were just throwing quarters and nickels at us and dollars. And, dude, we ended up making like $60. And by the end of the night, dude, as soon as we got off stage, every guy in that club grabbed the girl and got a lap dance. So, like, never again. Never again. It was the greatest night of my life.
But the strip club DJs that we know, you can pull in some serious money.
All depends on the shifts. You get that Monday afternoon shift where there's one girl and one customer.
Right, yeah.
Man, those are dark days. Those are dark days. Yeah. You have to pay your dues.
Yeah.
Because when you first come into a club, they're not going to give you that Friday and Saturday night shift. There's DJs already, you know, been working there for 10 years.
Already
slowly,
in the queue. Yeah.
Slowly working up to that Friday and Saturday. And some DJs will keep that job for 20 years.
Every now and then we'd have events where we would do our morning show at a strip club. And when you walk out of the strip club at 11:30 in the morning to daylight, it's an odd sensation.
It's like a vampire. It's like that John Carpenter film where they drag them out into the sun and they explode into flames.
Dark times.
Did you ever have a conversation with a stripper? It's like, hey, listen, you're great, but we got to knock you down to day shift. Like,
Have you ever heard that?
We've never done that because, no.
How about you just do this? We need you here for 11 a.m. or p.m.
Yeah.
Your arrival time should be 9.
Yeah. It's usually the more beautiful the stripper is, proud she is of being a stripper.
Okay.
You know
what I mean?
Girls that came to Hollywood to be an actress and it just didn't work out, so now they're stripping to pay the rent.
Right.
But the girls that are barely able to make it as a stripper, you know. They got the fake hair. They got the fake eyelashes. It's dark in there. They got fake boobs and all that. They are so proud of me. Because they're like, we made it. I made it. Boom. They're ugly in high school. They're proud. They got bumper stickers that say, happiness is being a stripper. They're all about it.
There's a documentary.
They're like, yeah.
There's a documentary coming out about a hotel in Hollywood, I think it is. That is, I guess, near a number of the clubs, and it's basically populated the entire hotel, like where you know, it's almost like a condo complex, where virtually everyone there is a stripper at some level in their career. Are you guys familiar with this place?
No,
have
I've
you
never
seen the trailer
heard
for this documentary? Uh-uh. Okay, but it's this thing, and it's sort of like this subculture of ones on their way out, ones who are like in the I want to act, but I need to pay the bills.
Oh man, that sounds like something I could have contributed to.
Because
every stripper has their own story.
Did you ever violate the rule of dating?
Of course.
Well, when I first got hired, I wasn't a DJ. I was a guy who counted lap dances to make sure the girls paid up, because every lap dance they did, they owed half that money to the club.
Okay.
So I was the guy in charge of that. Yet I was getting paid by the girls. Conflict of interest of the yin yang.
Yes. Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, and the rule was you can't date any of the girls. So it was like, what?
Okay.
But then, like, so you didn't want to get fired. You're like, man, this is awesome, you know, because you're working around a bunch of girls that are naked.
Yeah.
And then really quick you find out that, like, one of the assistant managers is dating one of the girls.
Okay.
Or one of the DJs just had sex with one. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. There was a gray area.
I get it. You just have to keep it on the low level.
Of course.
You know, and then it worked out great, because when you do finally hook up with one of the girls, you got to tell them, like, you can't say nothing. I'll get fired.
Right.
Meanwhile, no one's getting fired. Right? But if the girl really thinks you're going to get fired, they just keep their mouth shut.
So wow. It's a wild existence. It really is.
I want to reset real quick for those who might be just tuning in, Sam Kipley and Eddie Bravo, who are here.
Did we get too crazy?
It's going to stretch, and people have their routines, and they tune in and out. So I want to make sure if they're just jumping on board, who are these guys we're talking to? And so they're doing the tinfoil hat comedy night tonight at Punchline. It's one show only. It's 10 o'clock. When you guys get into the conspiracy theory stuff, whether it be on stage or podcast, whatever it may be, what's the one that the majority, most people love when you talk about? Like, it's the one to go to.
I mean, honestly, yeah. I mean, they love talking flat earth with Eddie, and they love the Clinton crime family. I mean, like, people, you can't talk enough about all the shady stuff about Hillary, like all the stuff she's done forever. And this pushback, like, if you talk about it, how people are like, it's just because she's a woman. And it's like, how sexist is that? When you don't think a woman could be as evil as a man. I mean, that is so sexist. And it's just true, man. It's unbelievable when you get into politics about how, like, this dynamic, how they get everybody to fight with each other. It's like, you know, believe all victims and all that stuff, which is great. You know, like, women hate women, except for when it comes to men. You know, when men are involved, then guys are the worst people in the world, and they all bunch up. It's very interesting.
Let me ask you, by gender, who believes, because I always think,
conspiracy theory stuff is more. Am I wrong? It's
no,
women.
What, I think what's the
because I was going to say I would say predominantly men are conspiracy theorists.
Here's what I've learned, dude. It is heavily men.
Yeah.
I'd say the listeners can be like 80-20, okay. Men to women. But that 20, I'm not lying to you, Rabid. Those chicks, smoking hot. I don't know what it is about conspiracies, but smoking, I'm not
Will
lying
you back
to you,
Eddie?
Dude.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's because those super hot chicks are invited to the Illuminati parties, and they understand. They're like, we believe.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
It's unbelievable.
I had not heard this. That conspiracy theory women are... very attractive.
Dude, this is a guy who's lived in L.A. for 20 years. Like, I can't say when someone's go, oh, look how hot she is. It's like, everybody's hot here. Tell me when someone's butt ugly. I want to see that, right?
No, you're right. But it's the anomaly is the plain-looking person.
Yeah. He had a great bit 20 years ago about why hot girls... This kind of contradicts what he's saying, but he wasn't really a conspiracy theorist back then.
Okay.
Why hot girls don't really care about what's going on in politics. Because if Darth Vader came down and took over the world, they would still get VIP.
Yeah. Darth Vader would walk around with, like, the most smoking hot Instagram models, get the best blow.
So it doesn't matter to them.
Right? They don't. There's never been a time where we've oppressed hot women. You know what I'm saying? We never made hot women work in the fields or do anything like that.
I guess there's a point there.
But for some reason, man, every time I get hit up on, hey, I love your show, I love blah, blah. And I go, okay, who's this? You know, it's so interesting.
Let me ask
too.
You: Are you in a relationship?
Yeah, I do.
You, Eddie? I'm
married.
Oh, there you go, dude. All right.
Hey,
I've been with my girl 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man. She hates conspiracies. So it's the weirdest thing ever.
How do you reconcile that? So both you guys have a mate.
She doesn't want to hear it.
Don't want to hear about it.
She doesn't want to hear.
Okay.
About it.
Dude, right? I come home and my girlfriend is like, she hears the door unlock and she's like scrambling to find the remote to change the channel to turn off MSNBC or whatever. It's kind of like when you like used to watch porn and your girlfriend came home and you had to turn the porn off and pull the pants up so she didn't know what was going on.
She's like,
why are you doing this to us? Why are you doing this?
You want to ruin this relationship. So she's turning off the MSNBC, tucking the New York Times under the pillow.
It's just weird because, you know, she comes from that time where you watch news and you trusted who you were, like, you were that these people were there to tell you an unbiased view of what's going on. And then over time, you start watching and you start learning. You realize it's just all controlled opposition and it's not really telling you what's going on. It's telling you what they want you to think. And then after a while, you just stop. It's a wonderful time to not watch the news. That's what I think. I have a mother who will call me if anything bad's going down. She'll let me know.
Yeah, dude, that's all you need.
She called me. Dude, my mother calls me about national news and local news. My mom will call me. She lives in New York. She'll call me about stuff. She called me one time to ask me if I was in a hostage situation at Trader Joe's. I was going, do you remember that?
My mom does the same thing. She sees a car accident.
Yeah.
She thinks it's me. She calls me. Was that you?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I could answer the phone in a hostage situation. Yeah. Like, the nice guy in the ski mask is letting me take a call from my mother.
That's funny. So tonight, what can people expect? They come down to the show. Here's what we've learned: a lot of podcast loyalists will be down there.
Oh, yeah. We'll go, how many people like listen to the podcast? And the place explodes. Here's the thing, man. What we've learned doing this show is that people just, they want to hear comedy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If we go up there and we do a whole show about bisexual lizard people, they're going to get quiet. So they want to hear, like, the, you know, Eddie's life, my life, all that stuff. And then the second half of the show, which is maybe 30 to 45 minutes, it's just Q&A. So you can come and ask us any question you want.
You turn it over to the audience.
Yeah. And I'm amazed. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know how that went. And then they get off stage like, dude, that was my favorite part. So it's like, that's what they want to be. They want to hear about our lives. And then they want us to kind of.
How often do you encounter a conspiracy you have not heard of?
If there's not a YouTube link about it, it's not legit.
That's the vetting? Yeah. That's the vetting process?
It doesn't mean that it's real.
Okay.
Because there's a YouTube video doesn't mean that it's real. But if there's not a YouTube video about it, it ain't.
Isn't at this point a YouTube... There's got to be a link for everything at this point. That's part of the problem.
No, there's not a link for tanks don't exist.
Tanks don't exist.
Yeah.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, is that sure. Is that one?
There's links that links for nuclear bombs don't exist.
Okay.
But there's no links for
that's
aircraft
an interesting
carriers
one,
don't
too.
Exist.
Which is a conspiracy theory that both of you answer? Which one do you think is an absolute hoax? Totally ridiculous.
Volcanoes don't exist.
Okay.
There's actually a video about that.
Volcanoes don't
exist. I don't
exist.
Agree with that one.
Okay. And what about you, Sam?
That I feel like isn't true. Like, I mean,
yeah, that you feel is like this is ridiculous. Because I think you talk about how you have to have an open mind, you have to entertain everything. What's the one that you will not even step off on?
Oh, well, I don't know if it's not that I don't believe it, because I'm open-minded. I'll hear anything you have to say.
Okay.
But there's things I don't want to look into.
Okay.
And one is this 5G. I don't want to look into 5G because the implications are insanity, and it's just something that, what can I do to about? I can't do anything about it. I mean, like, everything else I learn about, I cannot engage in it. I cannot be a part of it. I can just, but 5G is going to be everywhere, and it scares me. So I don't
We're
even want to.
We're talking about the
cell phone stuff?
Cell phone stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is the conspiracy attached
to? And basically, it's just, you know, what it is literally goes back to tinfoil hat. Okay. It is like
mind control.
Look in. No, it's not. Yeah, it's mind control. It's bake your brains. All that stuff.
Okay.
It's real. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to look even into this thing.
So, so for me, like I said earlier, as we started this whole thing, is that you can come in on it very viscerally, or you can come back out on a spectator and just enjoy it all.
Yeah.
It works on a multiple.
Well, you know, man, it's just like I get inundated with a lot of stuff, and I have to pick and choose what I get into. And
right.
I also find, like, now, like, the show's getting big enough, I'm getting, like, people, like, I'm, like, almost like shills or plants trying to send me disinformation. And that to me is a sign. Like, I had a girl come on the podcast and talk about how her father is engaged in some very shady stuff with the Catholic Church in Michigan. And it was a very interesting interview. And it's still up right now.
Yeah.
But then a fan sent me a video where she's saying about how she lost a cousin in Sandy Hook. And I'm like, man, you're either full of it, or you have the worst luck ever, because you're involved in every single conspiracy that ever happened.
That certainly that subtracts some of the credibility.
So it's interesting. So, but that's a sign that it's getting some big legs and some reach now that they're kind of sending disinformation.
Any offers from or any inquiries as far from Vice or any channels about doing a show, TV show? Man,
I've turned down 4 TV shows now.
Really?
To be a host for a conspiracy theory show that was already greenlit 4 different times. And I turn them down. I don't want to have anything to do with TV. That scares me.
I'm available.
All right. We know where it splits now. Okay, Sam's up for it. Eddie, not so much.
Nah.
No, but I've learned so much in life. I mean, it's just like, we just did something on the Federal Reserve that is just mind-blowing to me. And just like, you know, it's like, up until like 1913, there was no income tax.
Right.
And like how Woodrow Wilson, who, like, we always talk about Benedict Arnold being one of the biggest. Like, you look into what that guy passed on a shady night, the night before Christmas when everybody was home, and what he passed. And look up Jekyll Island. Like, could it be named any more evil than Jekyll Island? And what they went and they did. Unbelievable, dude. The Federal Reserve and all that stuff. And you just realize, like, oh, man. Sometimes you get really depressed. You're like, the corruption.
See, that to me is a massive, while it can be interesting, like, and you live in a world where a lot of times, both you guys, I'm sure a lot of times, like, God damn it, okay, where you're like, you know, and there's always sort of like a bubbling angst going on, you know?
So what's the option? You follow the national news and there's Al-Qaeda everywhere. No, ISIS hates our freedoms.
I always think of The Matrix. Yeah. Like, you know what? When he just says, I'm going to eat this pill, but I'm going to enjoy the steak.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I get that, too. Sometimes I've had
people go, the blue or the red.
You know, that's your choice.
I prefer the red.
I wish there was a blue pill that lasted like 4 to 6 hours. Right. You know what I mean? You take one pill every 4 to 6 hours.
You could choose.
Forget about,
Yeah, you could go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loose.
Oh, red pill Monday through Thursday, blue pill Friday through Sunday.
Yeah.
Somebody come up with that.
That's a great pit.
Eddie, Matrix Light.
Matrix
Light. Yes. Yeah, there you go.
For me, dude, it's like I'd rather know what's going on. It's when you look into it, like, the news will have you believe we live in the most violent time ever. Like, don't leave your house, because there's nothing but
Antifa's out there.
Yeah, don't. Dude, it's a wonderful time to be alive.
Oh, it is.
You
it
like
is.
More people are more depressed. They're on anti-depression pill. It's like it's less violent than it's ever been. There's less war than it's ever been. But if you watch everything, you think of the world. It's a beautiful time to be alive.
But if you don't report the bad things that are going on in the world, you're being an irresponsible news information source. And so that's where you've got to learn to detach.
Well, what is going on?
And do a reality check.
That, I get where you guys are coming from, but what is going on? If you sit there and you go, hey, I got to follow the news so I know what's going on. But when you start to investigate it, that's not what's going on. Well, that's the spin of what's going on.
To your point, here's what I'd say, and I always say this to everybody. The onus is on you. It's on every one of us to decide what we're going to search, what we're going to do our due diligence, and we try to glean as much information as possible. And the onus is on us. So I don't mind if people are putting it out there. That's fine. It's up to me to go and decide if I think it's correct. Because you're right. At the end of the day, when I walk around my neighborhood and I'm saying hi to the neighbors and everyone's getting their dinner ready and the whole thing, you know, I know there's a lot of pain and suffering in the world, you're dealing with so many things that rely on ratings. You're dealing with so many things. Everyone's in the same business. And, the money, it's the whole part of the same.
Also dealing with billions of people.
Of people.
And how many people do you have in your circle around you? You know what I mean?
There's only
so much you can do in the world.
I get that, too. But there's also I think everything is socially constructed.
Right.
And so it's like, you look back a couple decades ago, people weren't working $1 billion. Both parents weren't working. Everything's stretched out. Now you're exhausted. You got kids and all. So you're like, I just want to know what's going on. Now you turn on this news. And then you had Reagan and Clinton just to destroy the media, where it gets down to five people own everything. And they control the message. And the message is what they want you to do. So you buy into their whole thing. I get it all.
And I think in life you should strive to have the existence of, if I may, a strip club DJ.
Live and love and breathe.
Those are some good times, man. Sometimes I dream. Sometimes I have dreams about being a DJ at strip club. Boom, I'm back in the booth. And I think it turns into a nightmare.
Really?
It always turns into a nightmare. But I think it's not supposed to be a nightmare. The only reason it turns into a nightmare is in order to be a strip club DJ, you have to know every girl's musical taste.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know what songs they like. And there's times where, because every song is 2 minutes and 45 seconds. You got to cut it because every song is a lap dance. Every song is
money.
So if a girl's supposed to go on stage and you have her music ready and 15 seconds before she goes on stage, she comes up to the DJ booth and says, skip me, I got a lap dance. Now I got 15 seconds to find another girl. I'll point another girl out, yell at her, and then I got 5 seconds to pick out a CD. Boom.
Eddie, I can tell you right now, amongst these people in this group right here, we just call it the dream.
The dream.
The radio has the same thing, too.
Yeah.
The microphones don't work. The music won't play. You've got, you have 30 more minutes, and I have nothing left to talk about.
Exactly. That's what happens. So I'm at the strip club. I can't recognize any of the girls. I don't know. I can't read my CDs.
And you know who's next up on the stage? Susan Boyle.
Hey, we got to wrap it up.
We have it.
That's the DJ dream.
We could talk all day, but listen, it continues tonight, 10 o'clock, Punchline Philly.
One show only.
Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. This is your thing, or even if it's not, you're going to be entertained because these guys are serious characters and they
get weird.
They know what they're doing. Sam, great to see you. And
always a
Eddie,
pleasure.
Nice to meet you, man.
Thank you.
Come
nice
back anytime. All right.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It, guys. This is here for Sam.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Preston Sucho, when we come back, Jeannie Francis will be in our studio. Stay with us. Yeah.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Before we get to our next guest, you guys mind if I take a
call
here real quick? I believe this is Paul I'm talking to. Paul, are you there?
I'm there.
Paul, I understand you have good word for us. What is that?
I just won $1,000.
How about that, man? Not too shabby.
Won $1,000, MMR's birthday bucks. You join a happy collective, Paul. We would like to say congratulations. Where are you from?
Bristol, Pennsylvania.
And you just made it in before the weekend. Nice job, man. There's a few more chances today. Any idea what you might do with the grand? You just going to go out and have a good time with it?
I'm going to go to New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Enjoy, man.
The Windy City.
No, that's it's the Crescent City.
I got that wrong.
But that's we'll let you have it.
Rice-a-roni.
Paul, that's San Francisco. But Paul's got $1,000. He can call...
City of Lights.
He can call New Orleans whatever he wants to. That's Paris, by the way.
Damn it.
Paul, congratulations, man.
Thank you, guys. You guys rock.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the weekend. There you go. Just that simple. Next chance to win $1,000 coming up at 11 a.m., then 1 and 4 and 6. And we're doing that for quite a stretch here. And we hope that you will win that money. But you can't win if you don't play, as they used to say, you know, on the midway.
Yes,
friends.
And they were right.
Our next guest is here this morning. Boy, did we were excited when we found out that we had an opportunity for her to be here.
Well, like Kathy says, you know, do you want this person on? Like, do you want this? Of course!
Yes, of course we do. She is in town. She's a keynote speaker at the 55 Plus Thrive Conference. She's been acting for a number of years, and one of those characters has stood out for a long time and is definitely high up there. Please, you may have remember her as Laura Spencer from General Hospital and still do know her from there. But Jeannie Francis is here.
Good morning. How are you?
We're wonderful, Jeannie. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So you're a keynote speaker at this event.
Yes.
And are you often called out to be a keynote speaker at various conferences?
Absolutely not. This will be my first time.
Get out of here. Seriously.
Does that come with a whole new set of things to get familiar with? Or you've been acting for years. It should be in your wheelhouse, right?
Well, it should be, yes. I don't know that it will be, but okay. I would definitely try. It's not really, I don't have to stand up and give a speech or anything like that.
Okay.
I basically have a question and answer.
Oh, there you go. That's when you'll be fine.
Yeah. Absolutely. Been doing that forever.
Yeah. Multitude of interviews.
Those can be fun. It is at the Downtown Marriott, and it's the 55 Plus Thrive Conference, and it's helping people 55 and older getting the most out of life. So Jeannie will be there. And obviously, Jeannie, we had mentioned earlier this morning when teasing the fact that we were going to have you on the air here. I mentioned three things that I recall that were huge in television when in the 1980s.
70s, right?
Yeah, 70s and 80s. I have to group a little bit of the 80s in there, too, because it was the early 80s that I remember. But there was Who Shot J.R.? Oh. There was the final episode of MASH and the wedding of Luke and Laura. I mean, it was just... America was captivated by that.
I know. It was amazing, wasn't it?
It had to have been. I mean, from your perspective... Could you guys believe that it got as big as it did? I mean, I'm sure you had a product and performance that you were proud of, but to get to that level had to have been astounding to even yourselves.
Yes, it was. Well, I was a child then, so it was really over my head. I was there doing what I was told to do, and I didn't know. I didn't even know that people were holding receptions around the country. I was like, well, we weren't invited.
Well, we were talking about some of the facts earlier. Approximately 32 million people watched the broadcast. That's on during the daytime. You will never see numbers like that. For I mean, the Super Bowl has a hard time getting, you know, in that realm. And it's just an astonishing thing. You know, you're dealing at a time that it happened. Obviously, there were less sources of entertainment and things that people were distracted with. But still, to have that large a focus of people. I remember during... At work, people during the businesses were coming to a grinding halt in the middle of the day.
Of the workday, 32 million people. That's probably never happened since then.
But you actually were recast. That role originally was not yours, was it? Am I correct in that?
No, it was a little girl called Stacey Baldwin, and then they brought me back 6 months later as the grown-up Laura. I was 14.
Okay, yeah. It's wild that you're a recast for that and off and running. But you've also have, I believe, you've been on five different soap operas?
Oh, I don't know. I think I've lost count.
Days of Our Lives, All My Children, Young and the Restless, General Hospital. Am I missing any?
No, I think you got it. And was it all as Laura? No. Different characters on each show.
Mm-hmm. But didn't Laura bleed into another soap opera?
No.
Well,
no.
There was
no?
Poor Charles.
Only on okay. one show.
Was Poor Charles was a General Hospital
it was
spin-off.
A spinoff, yes. Yeah. That's where we got Kelly Monaco.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
When you're an actress and you'd done some television work prior to that. You were on the show, I believe, Family. You'd
yes.
done it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've read my resume.
Do we? Yes. And I remember Family. I used to watch that.
I did too.
Yeah. And yep. It was in fact, you remember the 2-part episode Preston the Jury?
No.
Well, that's where you were on that one, right?
Yes, I was. I had a wonderful time, and the producer of that show, Glenn Jordan, wrote me the most lovely letter saying that he thought I would have a long career. And actually, they came to me about 3 months later and offered me a recurring role, but I couldn't take it because I'd already gotten General Hospital, and I'd often wonder what might have happened to me if I had taken that other road.
I know. It's why sometimes, as we always say, you just get out of the way of life and let it happen, and things happen for the right reason. So with that, and you talk about almost at this point now, with the way entertainment is and the way the business is, it must give you a fresh perspective on what was happening at that time because, you know, for General Hospital, for soap operas were just incredibly dominant during the daytime schedule, multiple stories on all the time. And I have to imagine for an actor coming, you know, a young actor, you're getting scripts, bam, bam, bam. You've got to the amount of real in roll up your sleeves kind of work for an actor has got to be the epitome has to be doing soap opera stuff. Right. I mean, because it's just you're on a conveyor belt, basically.
Yes, and it's now worse than ever.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Last week I did 7 episodes in 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah, and a good night's sleep did not help me to recover. Now at this age, I needed the weekend.
What? As far as memory, this is something, and we ask everybody, and I'm sure the listeners are sick of hearing us ask, but it we marvel at it. Mm-hmm. The ability to recall dialogue, did you have to train yourself for that? Because, you know, there's so many intricate stories and things that are in play. Or, is it still an issue? Is it still something you have to work at?
Actually, now I give myself the permission to make a mistake. But when I was 14, my father came to me. He had also been a soap opera actor.
Oh.
And he said to me, listen, you can't forget your lines. And I, you know what? When you're told that as a child, you listen and you just don't.
Would you remember your lines as well as your, I assume?
Yes, yeah. I absolutely did. With Ken Schreiner, we were locked in a basement during a big hurricane in Port Charles. And he had this line to me. He said, now, remember your Tennyson. And then he went blank. And I saw his face. His face went to terror.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
And I said, is it? I have asked to be where no storms come. Yeah, that's it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Jeannie, did you guys ever have to go live for any particular reason? That happens from time to time.
No, I have never been in that position. But as a young child, that is essentially how we did the show.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a tape delay, we would have to gather in the makeup room and wait for tapes being cleared before we could be dismissed.
One of our favorite movies is Soap Dish, mm-hmm. the Sally Field. Did you enjoy that movie? It was a loving sort of tribute to the soap opera craze.
I loved it, but it had nothing to do with the reality of being on a soap. We don't get a chair with our name on it. We don't get snacks.
Okay.
We don't get snacks.
No, there are no
There's
snacks.
No craft services?
No.
Wow. Well,
no,
that's
expensive. We don't get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to fight for a chair on the set.
When you're doing your scenes and it's something as, you know, and we all have there was a time where you could sort of Your immediate Rorschach test for someone is, what soap opera do you watch? You know, and you could, that was a great icebreaker. And I did as well. After school, I'd come home and, it was all part of the deal. With those and with the way the soap operas are and the production, when you're doing a scene and it would always crack me up, it was Rico. And they would cut to the people in the doorway and then they'd go do 5 more scenes and then they'd come back and you're still in the doorway and we're supposed to believe that for the better part of 15 minutes you've been standing there looking at each other not saying anything. To you in the pacing, do they do those scenes done, you know, one right after another? Is it done sort of in a real-time way we see the episode in a soap opera?
Well, now it is done in a real-time way. Essentially, I mean, we shoot all of my scenes at one time, or actually it goes by set because it takes a bit of time to move cameras. But when I was a kid, we did it as a live thing. And I remember once I had to say goodnight to my parents in one set and then get to the other set to get into my bedroom. And it was clear around. We're set up in a circular fashion.
Yeah.
So the cameras can rotate. And I was clear three quarters of the way or halfway around the circle. And I had to be at a dead run and also changing into a nightgown as I ran.
Oh, my God.
And I got into my room just seconds, you know, at the right time. And I skid on my carpet in my room because they didn't tape down.
There must have been countless stories like that where you're dealing. Yeah, because and that's basically live theater. I mean, that's Broadway. I mean, that's stuff that you encounter when you're doing things like that, you know.
Well, hopefully not on Broadway like that.
Wow. What was, you know, if I don't mind going asking about the wedding and what a splash that made and captivated the country. What was going on in those two character storylines that made everybody so caught up in their lives? Do you remember?
I think it's just a really well-told story. And I think they built to the first kiss and they built it to the wedding. It was a 2-year story that culminated with that wedding. So now they just have you rush into bed and they have you rush to the preacher and get married. And it's a shame. They don't develop a story and develop a character because they believe that in this time, social media and the way things are done, that our audience wants immediate gratification. Mm-hmm. I don't agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because people who would swear that they would be impervious to these things, I would laugh because it's like, I don't care. You watch one or two episodes and they get you. The people who do soap operas and do them well know how to get you. And then those daytime soap operas and nighttime soap operas, and Preston brought up Dallas. I mean, Dallas and Dynasty, and now they still work. Whatever Riverdale is a soap opera, you know. Okay, but these are all shows that have that same essence to it. You did a show called Bare Essence, a limited show for a while, right?
Yes, I did when I was really young, and all I can remember is that I wanted it to end because I really needed to sleep.
Okay, but you met your husband on that set, did you not?
I met him. Yes, it wasn't a romance because I was still very young. But
and
he
your
used
husband
to tease me a lot.
Jonathan Frakes, who's Riker and an accomplished director from Star Trek: The Next Generation,
and musician,
and musician as well.
Oh, I don't know that he would say musician, but
well. Can I ask you a question? Because my favorite band is Fish, and your husband played on a Fish album. He played on Hoist, and there's actually a song on that album called Riker's Mailbox. Were you there when he recorded that that song?
No,
no,
I wasn't there, but I do remember our mailbox, which looked like a cow.
There you go. So how's he doing?
He's doing great. Yeah. He's actually directing a show right now down in Atlanta, and he just prior to that did an episode of Star Trek Discovery.
Oh,
which
very cool.
He loves working on. It's like a little mini motion picture.
Yeah, it's the CBS. You have to go on the CBS app to watch it, but it's the new series. So just a quick question, because I do see it's the Thrive Conference, and I see Thrive pop up online. Explain what that is, if you can. Do you have any idea? You have no idea. It's okay. These people, they don't quite know. But whatever it is, it's engaging enough to get you there, correct?
Absolutely. Right. Well, I'm 56, you know, and I've always been honest with my audience about what's going on with me. So I'm looking forward to it. I also have never been able to bond with my peer group, which has been a source of real agony in my life. So I'm looking forward to meeting my peeps.
Oh, you finally get to meet your peeps. That's cool. Well, because you grew up basically on television. I mean, you know, starting young.
Yes.
Is that something that you're tangibly aware of? Is that you didn't get the standard?
Yes,
you know,
I'm very aware of it.
Did you do the prom thing? I'm sure you know.
Absolutely not. You know, I learned about what that time in life was about by watching my daughter.
Okay.
And, you know, I realized how much more I was out of what is normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you, so with your daughter and
She's not going on television okay. for a tour. That's okay. just
she
not
doesn't
happening.
Have an interest. All right.
No,
that's
not
what I was
going to
ask. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, now that she's in college, if she is pursuing acting, she is a wonderful actress. She's also a wonderful writer.
Yeah.
And I'm supporting her now.
Okay.
It's funny, you know, because my kids are teenagers now. My sons are. And I want them to do whatever they want to do and be successful at it. But part of me is like, you know, I've said a couple times, yeah, radio can be funny. And I get nothing back from them. Yeah. I'm like, oh, man.
I know. My kids say to me, Mom, your job is so not cool.
Really?
Do they have any idea? Absolutely. Do they have any idea of the impact that the General Hospital and your story arc in particular had on pop culture?
I think it's just dawning on them.
Okay.
My daughter was in a class at college where they actually mentioned me.
Ah.
And she was blown away by it. She was like, she told me about it.
Yeah.
She just, I think maybe at that point she got it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Jeannie, just if I may, I think today is going to feature a lot of information, entertainment, and resources ranging from financial planning to health and wellness trends, travel hobbies, and more. So it just,
there you go.
The
that's
55
your drive,
thrive. Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally talk about that.
Yeah. I think those things are going to happen.
Listen, okay, thanks.
And will there be coffee provided next?
Yeah, yeah. There'll be refreshments. And fortunately for Jeannie, snacks.
Snacks.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Which you, as an actress, do not get, but as a keynote speaker, you're now getting your snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear I'm also getting a seat.
Oh, wow.
So welcome to Philadelphia.
Yeah. By the way, absolutely.
I wanted to ask this on GH, which is what we used to call it. By the way, you were earlier this year. Your character was written off, but fan response was so huge that they wrote you back into the show.
Yeah, I could not believe it. I could not believe that people still cared.
Yeah,
you know, because it looked like my employer didn't care.
Right.
You know, and, you know, somebody said, oh, you got to look on social media. So I did. And then I was blown away and I felt so vindicated.
So how do they come to you with that? Is it they're literally a rolled up hat and like, we're sorry, or were they when they called you back? Did they admit that perhaps they acted rashly?
They admitted to me that they had made a mistake.
Okay.
And they basically said, well, you know, we want you to come back. And I said, well, I'd like to be on contract. They kind of wanted me to show up for the anniversary show and do the press and then put me back on a shelf. And
right, right.
Like, no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah.
So I said to them, and they said, well, what do you want? I said, well, you could write a story.
Yeah,
yeah. Do your job.
And do your job.
I want you to do your job. But wouldn't that suck, though, if you asked to be written off the show? Like, I'm done, but I don't want to officially retire. I want you to write me off the show. You're like, I can't quit. I can't because people want me here too much.
Oh, no, right? I think my fans are wonderful. They love me. And if I said, I'm so tired, I'm putting my feet up, they would say, hey, good for you.
Yeah,
sure.
That's a wonderful place to be.
People are very selfish. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I am.
Yeah.
Well, it's a delight to meet you. And today, Jeannie's going to be the keynote speaker for the 55 Plus Thrive Conference. And she's doing a Q&A. It's 1 to 1:30 is her Q&A, but it's a... $15 if you would like to go by. It's going to be at the Marriott.
She can say, good.
I just want to invite everyone to tune back into General Hospital.
Of course.
Okay, yes, yes.
We absolutely. Need you. And I have a story. I have an actual story.
There you go.
That's
and,
awesome.
And so, and fans obviously be a part of this event.
And it says here, 392 episodes of General Hospital. And still going strong. That's awesome. Well, thank you for coming by here, Jeannie. It's very nice to meet you.
Nice
appreciate
meeting
you. Being
you.
Here. Jeannie Francis,
yeah!
guys. And we will take a quick break and come back in just a moment. Stay with us because the B-File and More is coming up. Stay there.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks. Here comes the MMR.
What's going on?
Today, from noon till 2, Marissa Magnotta rocks Sprint. 1760 Market Street in Center City. Win Bates Motel tickets and a sit-in with the Preston and Steve Show on Halloween morning. Hang with the MM Army tomorrow from 11 to 1 at Exton Nissan, 200 West Lincoln Highway. Shopping for a new or pre-owned vehicle? You'll do better at Bush during Bush Auto Group's one-day sale. Join Brent Porsche tomorrow from noon till 2 at Sprint, 1144 Baltimore Pike in Springfield. Win Bates Motel tickets and a sit-in with the Preston and Steve Show on Halloween morning. Sprint, brighter future for all. Tomorrow from 1 to 3, Steve Morrison rocks the Wings of Hope Food Truck and Music Fest at the Manitani Steelworks in Pottstown. Wings of Hope is a nonprofit organization devoted to uniting families impacted by cancer. Enjoy fun for the whole family, including a butterfly tent, delicious fare, and live music. Info at gowoh.com. Join the MM Army tomorrow from 6 to 8 at the Kimberton Fire Company Oktoberfest, 2276 Kimberton Road, Phoenixville. Show that you downloaded the new 6ABC app to get a free WMMR or 6ABC shirt.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Hey, I got
all right, all right, what do you want to
okay,
then?
All right. So, Casey.
you thought you were going to go past that?
Kathy was doing traffic. Casey motioned to me. And he's like, his eyes went down to his pants. He's wearing shorts, yeah. And so with his left hand, he starts pulling up the pant leg on his left leg. And as he did, I see something moving underneath there, and I thought it was his willy.
Yeah.
And he had stuck his hand.
I pulled my right arm out of my shirt.
He put a lot of effort
and
into this.
And he put his hand down through his pants, and it looked. It was his finger that was moving around, and he pulled it out, and I see his fingers in there. It was pretty. It was good.
It caught you.
Yeah. No, you got me. I try.
That was
fun.
We do it every now and then. Yeah.
So dumb, right?
Young.
I'm 43 years old. I'm 50 and I'm laughing at it.
All right. Let's see. We're going to give away God Shoals and some turkey bacon out of a 6-pack of coupons, good for 6 full-size packages of God Shoals turkey bacon at your local grocery store. So I will give away the rest of these. I'll take callers 5, 6, and 7 at 215-263-WMMR. And don't forget the God Shoals, locally made right here in Pennsylvania in facilities powered by solar panels with water recycling program. And they boast zero landfill status. It's good for you and for the planet. We're having turkey scrapple cheddar sliders, and their breakfast burritos are really good, man.
I'm going just straight up bacon this morning. The turkey
really,
bacon. It's a great protein source.
Nice, okay, yeah, very good. You can do there's by the way, there's hundreds of recipes at godshulls.com for the turkey bacon. All right, I need to get rid of this first and then do the bizarre file. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
Brought to you by the Bates Motel. This Halloween, get to the number one rated haunted hayride in America at the Bates Motel in Glen Mills. 3 heart-pounding attractions, discount coupons at Dunkin' Donuts, or you can buy tickets at thebatesmotel.com. An Instagram star who appeared on a show linked to a cash-for-sex scandal has become the laughingstock in Turkey thanks to a badly translated tattoo. Her name is Naz Mila. She's gorgeous.
Naz Mila.
Yep. And she wanted to get a tattoo that said, "Only God can judge my mistakes and truths," which is a well-known phrase in their country. But it appears that she's getting it done in English.
Yes.
But it appears she used a lousy translator, which ended up giving her. So the original phrase was, "Only God can judge my mistakes and truths." And she ended up getting, "I can judge a single God with my wrongs and wrongs." And it's huge.
It's down the size of her, the side of her body, and the, yeah.
It goes from her ribcage to her knee. That's her how knee. Big it is.
I can judge a single God with my wrongs and wrongs.
Yeah, the tattoo, which she had done at the Ramazan Silver Tattoo and Piercing Parlor in Turkey's biggest city of Istanbul, goes all the way from her chest to above her knee.
Did she provide the translation herself from someone?
I don't know. She posted the photo of the tattoo along with the tattooist seen pointing proudly at his handiwork. It looks nice.
It does.
It's just a terrible phrase. And she posted on Instagram, and quickly her followers started ridiculing her. Mila was one of the most popular stars on a show called With Zuhal Topal, a Turkish matchmaking show in which male contestants try to find a bride. So it's like The Bachelor, you know?
Yes, yeah.
The controversial show was taken off the air over allegations that contestants had sex for money. Mila regularly shares provocative selfies. She has more than 860,000 followers on Instagram, but the photographs she shared of herself showing off her new tattoo did not have quite the effect she intended. She has since disabled comments on the tattoo post, but continues to post on the site, and no further references to the tattoo.
Well, now, now she's got it.
Yep.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. A North Dakota man tweaking on meth yesterday, stripped off all his clothes, and went into a church's baptismal font before emerging to walk down toward the altar while pleasuring himself.
Hmm.
This is in front of 75 people attending Mass at the time. The 9 a.m. Mass Tuesday at Spirit.
I think I'm going to come back for the 11 o'clock Mass.
At Spirit of Life Church was interrupted when Zachary Burdick appeared in the entryway of the Roman Catholic Church. A female church employee called police after Burdick disrobed and entered the baptismal font where he was pleasuring himself facing the altar. Burdick had added that she began walking down the aisle toward the altar while still pleasuring himself.
It's going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
Witness, Daryl Kilzer told police that Burdick began to splash around in the holy water fountain.
You can't do that.
Kilzer added that Burdick later entered the sanctuary with his, quote, machinery hanging out and was pumping himself. Father Todd Kreitinger, who was conducting Mass when Burdick arrived, said that the intruder, quote, dipped his rear end into the holy water fountain and splashed around a bit before entering the sanctuary while pleasuring himself. The font would have to be...
My son, perhaps go behind the rectory while you're flogging your bishop.
Will have to be cleaned and sanitized, a process that will cost the church about $500. When confronted by police, Burdick reportedly said that he was, quote, tweaking on meth and admitted to using hashish oil. There's another thing that he said that I really wish I could say.
Paraphrase.
Rhyme. Burdick reportedly declared that he was just trying to bust a blank inside the church.
That.
Speaking of which, corn nuts aren't a nut.
Burdick was charged with felony indecent exposure and disorderly conduct as well.
It's horrible.
Let's see. A couple is headed for divorce after a Google camera car in Lima, Peru, captured an image of a woman stroking the hair of a man with his head resting in her lap. The image dates back to 2013, and the husband recognized his wife due to clothing that the woman in the photo was wearing. Mm-hmm. The couple, whose names have not been released, later divorced after the woman admitted to having that
affair. Is this you stroking this man's hair?
So
I want a divorce.
All right, and we'll do one more story, and we'll wrap it up, a short one here, Case. You can understand a dog being an emotional support animal, but claiming a squirrel as one seems like a bit of a stretch. Frontier Airlines had police escort a woman off a plane after she brought a squirrel, which she claimed was an emotional support animal, onto the flight scheduled to fly from Orlando to Cleveland on Tuesday.
Did she have the requisite documentation?
That I don't know. Frontier says starting next month, though, the company will only allow emotional support cats and dogs on its flights.
No squirrels, huh?
A spokesperson for Frontier said the passenger noted in the reservation that they were bringing an emotional support animal, but it was not indicated that it was a squirrel. Rodents, including squirrels, are not allowed on Frontier flights. Excuse me, when she refused to deplane, Orlando police were called and requested that everyone be deplaned so that they could deal with the passenger. So, squirrel, no. Could you imagine if one got loose in a plane?
Forget it. That's the whole issue with the rodents. If they get down and they start chewing on the electronics, well, the plane could crash.
All right, and that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. We're going to take a break, not before I give something else away.
You know what?
What do you think, Casey?
This one.
Hotel Transylvania. Yeah, I've got a combo pack of Hotel Transylvania 3. We'll take call number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. Make it a fun Halloween monster movie night and complete your Hotel Transylvania movie collection with Hotel Transylvania 3, available now on Blu-ray and DVD combo pack. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
We are going to give away our Word of the Week prize. Atlantic City. Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Kid Rock, that coming up, as well as, there's another, the 50 Days of Metallica.
Yes.
50 Days March of Metallica. We're going to do a winner at some point very, very soon. Chance for you to win tickets to see the band, along with Death Magnetic and Hardwired on CD, and be registered for the grand prize. Chance to meet the band and that awesome cooler that we have. It's the Metallica Orion 65 cooler. So, we'll get you all that stuff before the show's up. But for now, we're going to do today's lesson question. And we are going to give away a four-pack Franklin Institute tickets. And this is for Vikings Beyond the Legend, which is now open at the Franklin Institute. And let's go with this. Nick has gustatory rhinitis, which causes his nose to run when he eats. What condition does Marissa have? It's similar to that.
Yes.
It's gustatory something else. 215-263-WMMR. Nick has gustatory rhinitis, which causes his nose to run when he eats. What condition does Marissa have? Gustatory what? 215-263-WMMR. While you're calling in, we'll do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And let's get to it. Steve, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, Lindsey Buckingham taking his former bandmates in Fleetwood Mac to court after they dumped him from their upcoming tour. Buckingham says that he hopes that suing the band for $15 million will make them realize just how much they love him.
Hey!
Bethany Frankel is writing a tell-all book about the Real Housewives of New York City in which she reveals the cast to be a bunch of spoiled, self-centered sluts. Frankel says the book reveals secrets you could only know just by assuming.
Yeah.
Hey!
And finally, rumors are flying that Tom Cruise and Cher are dating again more than 30 years after having a brief affair. Cruise reportedly became nostalgically romantic for the legendary singer after opening up a Ziploc bag of spoiled ham. And share. And that's your Hollywood Track.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this question. Nick has a gustatory rhinitis, which causes his nose to run when he eats. What condition does Marissa have? And I will go to Jason, see if he knows it. Hey, Jason, you're on the air. Good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Jason. So what does Marissa have?
Gustatory blowitis.
Blowitis, yes, exactly. Hang on, Jason. Got it right. We're going to give you a four-pack of Franklin Institute tickets, and you want to journey back to Scandinavia in the Viking Age with Vikings Beyond the Legend. It is now open at the Franklin Institute. For tickets, you can visit fi.edu. Let's get into the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, we're going to begin with Weezer. They've shared a video for a new song called Can't Knock the Hustle, which actually features a guest appearance from Fall Out Boy bassist Pete Wentz. The latter plays a rideshare driver who looks suspiciously like Weezer frontman Rivers Cuomo and doesn't know how to deal with a passionate couple in his backseat. The song is the first to be released from Weezer. Oh, this is Do the Hustle. Okay. Can't Knock the Hustle's the name of the
song. Yeah, man.
But anyhow, so Weezer is first time to be released from Weezer's upcoming 12 studio LP, which is likely to be the long rumored Black album, the fifth in a series of self-titled colored-coded Weezer discs that have included the blue, green, red, and white albums.
What was your favorite hustle to dance to, Preston? The Foxytrot hustle? The Latin hustle?
Latin hustle by far.
Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think so. Most definitely. Let's see. Do you remember that commercial that used to run?
It was horrible.
I taught John Travolta how to do the dance hustle.
And I can teach the same to you. Yeah. All you need to do is put these footprints on the floor and just keep stepping in them.
Yeah.
You'll be a hustle master in no time.
Yep, I remember that. Soundgarden guitarist Kim Thayil has ruled out the possibility of the band's three surviving members recording new material or performing live under that name. Thayil told the Seattle Times, "No, I don't think that's anything that we'd give reasonable consideration to at this point." And when I say at this point, I mean perhaps ever. He said, "I don't really know what kind of thing is possible or what we would consider in the future. It's likely nothing. The four of us were that. There were four of us, and now there's three of us, so it's just not likely that there's much to be pursued other than the catalog work at this point." Thayil said that he would like to continue making music in some fashion with drummer Matt Cameron and bassist Ben Shepherd, a sentiment echoed earlier this week by Cameron, who told Rolling Stone, we're just still taking our time and giving ourselves space to process everything. We would certainly love to try to continue to do something, figure out something to do together. Thayil, who oversees the band's catalog, by the way, did say that more Soundgarden archival releases are in the works. He's working with the band's first label, Sub Pop, on possible compilations. Live albums and other unreleased material, as well as discussing potential projects with A&M Records, for which the group recorded most of its output. Slipknot drummer Jay Weinberg is hosting a one-night-only cover show on October 16th at Basement East in Nashville. The event is slated to include appearances from members of Mastodon, The Offspring, Dashboard Confessional, Nothing, and many more, as well as Weinberg's father, drummer Max Weinberg, from the E Street Band.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
100% of the proceeds, excuse me, from the event are going to benefit Buddies on the Beat, Weinberg's charity, through Best Buddies Tennessee. The latter is a nonprofit that creates one-to-one friendships, integrated employment, and leadership development for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The drummer has also launched a silent auction in connection with the concert, featuring rare and signed items from Slipknot, Korn, Foo Fighters, Hailstorm, and more. You'd mentioned this in the trash, Steve. Lindsey Buckingham filed suit Tuesday against members of Fleetwood Mac. That would be Stevie Nicks, Mick Fleetwood, John McVie, and Christy McVie, specifically, for breach of fiduciary duty, breach of oral contract, and intentional interference with prospective economic advantage, among other charges. Rolling Stone reported the lawsuit filed in Los Angeles Superior Court states that he is asked the group to postpone their tour 3 months so that he could play shows with a solo band. He says plans were in place for the Rumors era lineup to play 60 shows across North America when he was let go without warning. According to Buckingham's filing, this action, quote, is necessary to enforce Buckingham's right to share in the economic opportunities he is entitled to as a member of the partnership we created to operate the business of Fleetwood Mac.
So I was reading, and that's what they say, is that he believes he would be out between $14 and $16 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
It's a chunk of change.
The complaint states that Buckingham was made aware that he was fired from the band 2 days after the band's January 26th Music Cares tribute. So we'll see if that's got any legs or not.
It was
not
a not too subtle message. They sent him a video of Stevie Nicks taking a dump on one of his guitars.
Ooh.
And that's just wrong.
Not to an instrument like that. You don't want to do that. Casey mentioned this a moment ago. Tuesday, October 23rd at noon, will be the Ardmore Music Hall invitation-only event with Rival Sons. It's called Pierre Presents, of course. 21 and over event. You're going to need a ticket to get in. The first 50 people that ask for tickets at one of our featured MMR events each get a pair. So here are the events. Saturday from 11 to 1 p.m. at Bush Auto Exton Nissan, which is on Lincoln Highway in Exton. Saturday also from 1 to 3 at the Wings for Hope event with Steve Morrison.
Yay!
At this is... Manitowney Stillworks.
Right. Yeah, it's really cool.
Okay. And
it's a distillery.
It's in Pottstown.
Yes.
And more are coming, so just a heads up on that. You can go to WMMR.com and get all the details of that.
Yeah, it's a good, really good time.
And then finally, 50-day march to Metallica, we have a chance for you to win right now. And we'll take half of that 50 days. We'll take caller number 25. At 215-263-WMMR, going to give you Death Magnetic and Hardwired on CD and tickets to the concert. How about that? October 25th. It's coming up quickly. You'll also be registered to win the grand prize, which is a meet and greet with the band and a custom Metallica Orion 65 cooler. Complete list of prizes and giveaways scheduled at WMMR.com. And some tickets do remain. Ticketmaster.com, by the way. Wells Fargo Center, October 25th, Metallica. And that is it. Caller 25 will set you up. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. Get ready to wrap things up. Give away our Word of the Week prize. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
Yeah. There's a song in French by the Police called J'aurai toujours femme de toi. And I don't know what any of it means. But I'm ripping the words apart, but I sing along.
Doesn't matter.
It's at, like that song, song from Greta Van Fleet, the first single. I forget what it was called.
Highway Tune.
Yeah, and and at the end, it sounds like he's saying she eats my special. She eats my special.
She eats my special.
Special. She eats my special, and that's all I can hear is she eats my
two specials up.
Why does it smell like vinegar in our studio?
I just douched. I don't know.
I just pissed?
No, he douched.
Oh.
He just douched. I do not smell vinegar.
I get an. I have an overwhelming...
I do smell it. Yes, you're right. You're exactly vinegar. Right. It was.
Is it Pierre?
No, it's not Pierre. It happened before Pierre. Come on over there. All right,
thank
come on
God.
Over.
Preston and Casey are leaving their consoles and coming over to Kathy's area.
I smell a little bit of vinegar.
And they're now seeing the smell.
What? So Casey, we got a whole bunch of stuff from
Vinegar
Ant-Man
World
and the Wasp. And it's the box. It's the box
is
next
it?
To...
It's the box!
The box!
It's
that box. In fact, the box came from something else.
Is vinegar
World.
In it?
Why?
Let me see that.
Yeah, oops.
Damn it. See on the outside of that box, there's big letters that says vinegar.
You smell it?
Smell that.
Smell that.
Oh, Jesus.
Casey
just shoved a shirt in Kathy's nose. And
that's
goes,
it. That's it. There was somebody spilled vinegar on that shirt.
No. It's when they do this kind
new.
Of yes.
That on the front is yep. called a, it's called a transfer.
That's here what you go. It
yeah.
is.
The Manhattan transfer.
My mom used to own a transfer shop.
So you go like Preston that we used to yep. a place when before Modell's was all sporting goods. It was just a department store, and there'd be one of those transfer T-shirt mm-hmm. kiosks up front. That's it. Got it. Nailed it.
Yeah, we actually owned a shop. It was called the Shirt Shop, and it was
your mom owned it.
Yeah, it was
really.
It was in 1977 somewhere when all that stuff
yes,
started happening.
Jeannie Francis,
and you could have not only transfers that are pictures like this, which is it's a logo of Ant-Man, but they were letters, and you could put whatever you wanted to.
I did it all the time.
You could go get shirts made all the time.
Where was the shop?
It was when we lived in South Carolina.
Okay.
We lived there for a couple of years when I was a kid, and it was basically a giant panini press.
Yeah.
And you put the shirt down, you put the transfer on top of it, pull it down, set the timer, when it was done, you take it off, and then you peel this wax paper off. Boom.
T-shirt. What was the biggest panini you ever made using that press?
I never
made. So here's an explanation of what the whole deal is here.
Never made any paninis. We use water-based ink. The shirts must be sprayed before printing with a solution which smells a little like vinegar.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go.
All right.
Well, there's your vinegar smells.
Problem
solved. And the vinegar that they spray on the T-shirts.
I want to thank a couple of people real quick, and then I'll get to you. I would thank Paul Stanley, but he canceled. I had a bunch of Kiss transfer shirts when I was a kid.
Get a chance to tell him that.
Yeah, right? But I do want to thank Sam Tripoli and Eddie Bravo for
yes.
being here. One show tonight, Punchline, is called the Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. Jeannie Francis was here.
Yes.
She was, from General Hospital. She was very sweet, very nice. And she's at the Marriott today downtown speaking at the 55 Plus Thrive conference. And it's only $15 if you want to go by and see her.
She's doing a Q&A, basically.
And thanks to God, Charles Turkey Bacon, for feeding our guests.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah.
And then who's got gigs this weekend? Marissa?
Hang on a second. Sorry.
Hold on,
Nick,
man.
You had the floor.
Yeah, I wanted to plug something for our friend and engineer Rodney Bird because Rodney, speaking of smells, said that just texted me and said, turn on the giant fan we installed. I didn't know we had a giant fan.
But you want a giant fan?
Yeah, I don't know where one is. But in the meantime, while we're looking for the giant fan, he wanted us to give a plug to the Radnor Fire Company and Berwyn Fire Company. They're joining forces this weekend. It's Fire Prevention Week, which is pretty awesome. Pierre, you and I actually did years and years ago Fire Prevention Week at Radnor's Fire Company. And tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. on the grounds of the Devon Horse Show and County Fair in Devon, PA, they're going to have all of the displays and everything that goes along with Fire Prevention Week. It's a really fun event. I've been to it many times in the past, and it's cool that these two fire companies are joining forces to talk about Fire Prevention Week. So it's the Fire Prevention Expo on the main line, Devon Horse Show, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., and that is tomorrow. So thank you for letting me plug that.
All right, and then appearances case?
Marissa had got one.
Okay, and Marissa, go ahead.
Actually, in just over an hour, I'm going to be at the Sprint store on 17th and Market.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
I think.
1760 Market Street, so right in Center City, handing out tickets for Bates Motel. So
wow.
Join
oh.
us next week.
Yes.
Plus, we're also giving away a sit-in to join us in the studio. So if you want to spend your lunch break with me, 1760 Market Street, if you know anybody working in the city right now, text them and tell them to come down and hang out with me in the MM Army.
Cool. Excellent, Steve.
And tomorrow I'm going to be at the Manitoni Stillworks, and it is a food truck and music fest. It's a distillery. It's an awesome place. And there's going to be me and a whole bunch of stuff. I think we have tickets and stuff to give away. The food trucks, Aloha food truck, Cachas Empanadas. They're going to be there. So there's a whole bunch of stuff. It's a really cool event, so come out to it.
What time is that, Steve?
I'm going to be there, I believe, from 2...
It says 1 to 3.
One to 3.
Yeah, 1 to 3. All right. Yeah, it says it. The Wings of Hope,
Wings
event,
of
with
Hope
Steve
event with Steve Morrison.
Manitoni Stillworks.
Yeah, exactly.
Manitoni Phil.
Yeah.
All right, I got to see what I got going on. Maybe I'll stop by there.
Yeah, please.
I got
you would love it.
Not too far from me. We got cool.
The distillery is very cool.
I like to check that out.
All
right, so those are all the appearances. Pierre, letter.
Before that, I just wanted to plug the fact that tomorrow is the last day in Delaware for voters to register to vote. And in New Jersey, the last day to register to vote is Tuesday. So voter registration, it's an important thing to do. Get out and vote, no matter who you vote for. In Delaware, ivote.de.gov. In Jersey, it's state.nj.us/state/elections. Register to vote. Tomorrow's the last day in Delaware.
Good reminder, sir.
Thank you.
Ready?
Rock.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
E as in eat my special. Ooh. Eat my special.
All right.
She eat my special.
We'll take caller number 4 at 215-263-WMMR, and we'll give you the word of the week prize if you can make it through. So good luck to you. And you need to know the word. So caller number 4, we will go to you. The sun has come out. It's breezy. It's a little bit cooler. Very wonderful fall day today, Pierre. I'm sure you got some great things planned for everybody who's on board for your program.
It does really feel like fall. Yeah. You could actually use a hoodie out there today. Birthday bucks at 11 and 1. More passes for Rival Sons coming less than 2 weeks from now at Ardmore Music Hall. And Pierre presents cool workforce blocks. Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park will play the Fillmore on Sunday evening. And I'm going up to New York City tomorrow to interview him. And we'll have that interview probably sometime next week. Fascinating guy, and he's been through the mill lately, and he's on tour on his own. We'll do a block of Linkin Park. We will also get into a block of Steely Dan. They play on Saturday in Atlantic City, although it's really just Walter Becker.
Donald Fagen.
All right, Donald Fagen and Walter Becker couldn't do it because
he's dead.
you never know.
We're sorry he couldn't make it.
They got a hologram.
Wait, he's here. Ah!
Gets me every time, dude.
Anyway. I was there, and he just came on stage, and he was screaming, and he ripped his head off.
So Steely Dan, they or he, will be in Atlantic City. And then this weekend, we're going to celebrate the year of 1983, and that's what we'll look at in a nice big block also coming up.
Awesome. Awesomeness of goodness.
All right, we'll see.
Are we tired enough at the end of the week here, Preston?
Oh man, I know.
it's been a lot of good stuff going on this
week.
And
it was a short week too.
Yeah,
was it?
Yes,
oh
my God,
we were off on Monday.
Seems like it had five extra days.
I know. Stayed up and watched that Eagles game last night.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go to this. Call it what?
Just the manly grunt.
All right, I'm gonna go to Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Did they win?
Yes.
Good morning, Nancy. Pierre needs to hear your winning word. What is it?
Shoo.
Shooby dooby doo.
That means yes, you win.
I love shoo.
Nancy.
I love shoo too. I love shoo.
Nancy, since you got it right, we're going to give you 4 tickets to see Kid Rock at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino in Atlanta City October 19th. We're going to set you up with some food vouchers and 2 rooms for the night as well. So congratulations, Nancy.
That's great. Thank you.
You bet. Hang on just a moment. Don't forget, Kid Rock will take to the Etis Arena stage at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino October 19th and 20th. Book your stay and don't miss out on Kid Rock's epic heart-pounding show. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. I'll take this moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors. FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Next week, we got a lot of stuff going on. Comedian Kostaki Economopoulos.
Wow.
Will be on our studio.
Swedish fellow.
We also have WWE's Elias. Craig Shoemaker is stopping by. Not Your Average Listener is next week.
Nice. So was that the one you were talking about, Kathy?
Yes.
That's very cool.
Nikki Glaser will be back.
Nikki, we love Nikki Glaser.
Fresh off being the first one voted off of Dancing with the Stars this season, but she's great, man. And we also have Barnes Courtney, who's going to do an in-studio performance next week.
Nice.
So we got music, we got comedy, we have sports, all kinds of things represented next week. So that's it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we will see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
You pee loser that backed me into my spot. I just worked a 12-hour shift at a hospital saving lives to be able to leave immediately. I'm hungry.
Next message.
Yo, I
still love the new WMMR app. Driving through downtown Aspen, Colorado. Going, who lives in the mist? Who lives in the mist? Love you guys. Bye.
Next message.
Hey, I just came up with a brilliant idea for corporate America. Why don't you people stagger your report times? Traffic blows.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.